live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran this week. Andy Mazur riding shotgun today. Mind, body, spirit. Remember that.
Mind, body, spirit.
We have a guest coming in at 6:40 that's going to change your life, buddy.
Okay.
You need it this week.
We're trying to cleanse. Help me. I know.
We're trying to cleanse. We're trying to get in shape. You got to align your body. This is the guy that's coming in to help us.
Okay.
Jeremy Roenick's going to be on at 7:20 to talk Blackhawks.
Yeah, this could get interesting in the next couple of weeks here without Corey Crawford.
I know you just did it. It's the Canucks tonight, right?
Canucks tonight.
Okay. All right. I need to pay attention to your sports
cast.
Okay,
you don't have to worry. I'm here for you.
And we're going to talk SNL at 9 o'clock this morning. Tim Kazurinsky, former cast member, will be in studio. Has anybody seen the SNL experience at the Museum of Broadcast Communications?
I have not, but I've heard wonderful things about it.
It's so good. I can't wait to go back. It's so good because it takes you through. It reminds you of your childhood. Yeah. It's like, oh, my gosh, I remember this from when I was in high school, this when I was in college, this when I met this one girl. Yeah. Because, you know, think about it. You've recorded SNL for years.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember back in the day when you had the VCR?
I do.
And that's nice.
The remote that was attached by wire.
No, nobody remembers that.
Yes, you do.
All right, it's time for the 6 at 6. Where's my voice?
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Yes, the 6 at 6, brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man at number 1. The bitter cold is still number 1 today. Wind chills? No, there's no wind, so we're okay with that. But if you walk outside, it's still freezing.
It felt like a heat wave, though, this morning.
Yesterday's high was 6 degrees. The low yesterday happened when we came to work. Mm-hmm. It was minus 15 at 4:30 in the morning.
That's fun.
Today's high, 14.
All right.
We're going to see a heat wave next Wednesday, a high of maybe 20. But today, snow. Tomorrow, light snow. Back to single digits on Saturday. I don't mean to cheer everybody up, but This is winter. This is what happens in December, January, and February.
This is the winter script.
Yes. All right. Number 2, the 6 at 6. At least we're not Erie, Pennsylvania. Did you hear about this?
I have.
5 feet of snow has dropped on that city. 65 inches of snow has dropped in Erie in 4 days.
That lake effect monster.
They've seen 102 inches in December alone. That's 8.5 feet.
That is character building.
That's crazy. At least we're not Erie, Pennsylvania. At number 3, residents at a Northside Senior Center lost heat yesterday. The Chicago Housing Authority denied there were any issues at the Caroline Hedger building on the 6400 block of North Sheridan in Rogers Park. But some senior residents said, hey, my heat's not working properly. This is what we always say. You got to check on the elderly. This happened last year.
Mm-hmm.
So Wednesday afternoon, they sent in a stack of space heaters to deliver to the building. It's not good. At number 4, we briefly touched on this late in the show yesterday. A passenger boarded an ANA flight from LA to Tokyo with a boarding pass for a different flight that forced the plane to turn around mid-flight and head back to LA. The airline says two brothers booked two different flights to Tokyo, one on ANA and one on United. Somehow both brothers ended up on the same flight.
Okay, and how that happens, I mean, I know that they said they were using the same boarding pass. But once you scan a boarding pass at the gate, doesn't it kind of deaden itself? I mean,
it does.
Can't really board
you
without
think.
It, right?
Right. And then they go on the plane and they count all the passengers on the plane.
I mean, how
And they look at the seating chart on the plane.
Yeah, especially if there's, you know, the regular, if it's not like a Southwest flight where there's actual assigned seats, you can tell who's supposed to be in what chair.
How would you like to be on that flight and you're halfway through and they turn around and go back to L.A.? Oh, sorry, we got to make a U-turn. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like they did like a slow U-turn. They did a quick one to turn around. People were freaked out. Okay. All right. What is next for Tesla? A pickup truck. They have a car. They have an SUV. Tesla CEO Elon Musk says he wants to make an electric pickup truck. He says he's had the core design in his mind for years and promises Tesla will build the truck possibly in 2019. Do you like electric cars?
You know, I've never driven one before, but I know that there are a lot of people that absolutely swear by them.
I've driven the Toyota Prius. I love it.
It's hard to tell that the car is actually running.
Right. Yes. Which, my brother has a hybrid, and it's interesting because you go to a stoplight and everything is dead.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in Ubers before that are
electric
Prius, you know, with the half electric, half gas. And when they're in the electric mode and you get to a stoplight, you're like, wait a minute, did this car just die on us?
I went to a Cub game. A guy picked me up in an Uber in a Tesla. I go, what are you doing picking people up in this car? He goes, I love this car so much, I want to drive it around, so I might as well make some money.
It's amazing.
I go, you're smart. All right. And finally, at number six, Ed DeBevick's is back. The original location at Wells in Ontario was demolished.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everybody was up in arms. Well, and they found a new location in Streeterville at Ohio and St. Clair.
Oh.
Okay. You got that in your mind? Ohio and St. Clair. Isn't that burrito joint right on the corner?
I think so.
Yeah. They have a Starbucks over there.
Yeah.
Well, Ed DeBevick's could open as early as next year.
What do you want to order? Order, come on, eat it.
Okay, we want to send you there that has mediocre food, and they're going to yell at you. But still love the place.
Exactly.
The 6 at 6, powered by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand. With an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands. Just because a record has a groove, don't make it in the groove. But you can tell right away in Dr. A when the people start to move. They can feel it all over. They can feel it all over.
It is 6:21. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Love Stevie.
Sir Duke.
I was in the car yesterday playing Sinatra with my 12-year-old Charlie McMurray, and I said, Charlie, you need to learn the chairman of the board's music. You need to learn Sinatra. So every day, I take him to school every day. Every day, starting in January, we're going to play a different Sinatra song every day. They're 3-minute songs.
Yeah, they're short.
We have a 10-minute drive to school, and I said, we're going to do it so we can learn some Sinatra. Aw, Dad. But he'll appreciate it down the road, right?
He'll be wearing a fedora before you know it.
Did you grow up listening to Sinatra? That's all my parents listened to.
Not as much Sinatra as kind of the Simon and Garfunkels, the Neil Diamonds, the, I don't know, my parents had they were really influenced by the 50s more so than, than the 40s and the 30s.
My dad was a huge Sinatra guy.
Yeah.
Loved him. Bing Crosby, Jackie Gleason.
Yeah.
Back in the day,
he wrote a lot of stuff. He had his own orchestra.
He did.
We
had tons of albums, Jackie Gleason Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, I just remember a bunch of 8-tracks laying around the house.
I still got some a player.
Well, what are you going to do with it? Why are you playing an 8-track? That is the worst technology known to man.
The worst thing about those were the songs that started on one track and ended on another. It was just like, oh, come on.
AC/DC shook me all night long. Yeah. My sister had an 8-track in her car.
You shook me on.
I never understood that. Drives me crazy.
Yeah.
So Sinatra, we're going to be doing
that. I think it's a good idea.
Maybe some Stevie Wonder, Bruce Springsteen needs to be exposed instead of all this pop music that he knows. Monday, the First Lady posted a selfie wearing a Santa hat. She's gotten so much backlash this week. Does she deserve it?
What are people complaining about?
People are complaining that it's inappropriate for her to wear a Santa hat and post a sexy selfie picture. If you haven't seen the picture, she's looking at the camera and she has her lips puckered up like she's going to kiss someone.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe she's going, oh!
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a sense of self-awareness and how this might be perceived because of who she is.
Yes, the First Lady. You got to be careful. First of all, you got to be careful if you're anybody posting any type of selfies.
Right.
Yeah.
But in her case, you know, being a very attractive woman, and just being the First Lady of the United States, you got to kind of watch yourself a little bit.
If she wasn't the First Lady, what would you think of this picture? Wow, there's a sexy woman, 47-year-old woman.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but it's the First Lady. It puts a little extra meaning on it.
I feel like anything that comes out of the White House, people are angry. Regardless.
Yeah, I can see
they're
that.
Just angry.
I can see that.
I know Donald Trump can be a jackass most of the time, but do we need to attack the First Lady this week because of a selfie?
Sorry.
I don't know.
It's the day and age, unfortunately. I mean, that's the kind of the first reaction is backlash.
Everybody is hypersensitive. Everybody is angry.
Yeah.
And when you have a leader that you don't know what's going to come out of his mouth every second, I think it makes everyone a little nervous and uneasy.
Or on social media, whatever might be typed into that unsecured phone.
I mean, most people take a break when they have time off over the holidays off social media. I mean, you've seen it with tons of sports guys. Hey, I'll be back in a week.
Yep.
You know, enjoy your holiday. Can't the president do that? You're golfing in Florida. Just take a break, man. When you go out and use credit cards, you're not going to have to sign your name anymore.
Really?
American Express, MasterCard, and Discover have each announced that starting in April, they will no longer require signatures on any U.S. and Canadian credit card.
Is that including
purchases.
Larger purchases if you, you know, spend $100 or $200? Because in some cases now, if it's like below 20 or 25, you don't have to sign.
It is. It is for everything.
Wow.
Visa hasn't announced any plans to do the same, but there's speculation it may eventually do so.
Hmm.
What does that signature mean? You put the chip in there nowadays?
Yeah. I mean, it's. I guess it's supposed to be protection against who you are. They never compare the signatures on the back of your card to the one that you signed.
No one ever looks at the back of the card. Do you guys sign the back of your card? Some people write
I do just
CID.
Yeah, I sign it.
I'm
do
old just school.
Of,
yeah, I sign it.
So do I. My neighbor writes on the back of his card CID. I go, what does that mean? No one's going to look at the back of your card, man. Yeah.
If you go into Juul now and you use your credit card, you do it as credit as opposed to debit, they tell you just sign anything. Where at the end, when it's over a certain amount, you have to sign that little display. They said just make a mark. You know, like if the pen doesn't work and you have to use your finger, the checker will go reach over and just like draw a line.
Right,
and
it
takes it.
Yes, that is so true. On that little pad.
Yeah,
isn't the card invalid if you don't put anything on the back?
That's what they say.
Technically.
As long as you activate those cards nowadays, you're fine.
Yeah.
When was the last time someone said, oh, I need to see your signature?
Well, that was when you had to hand the card to the cashier.
Right.
And they swiped it on their register. Now all the stores have, you do it yourself.
Remember when they used to do it manually? They'd put it in that metal deal and they'd run it back and forth.
I used to have to do that when I worked in retail.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you remember when they would have a published book that would come out from the credit card issuer and they would go through the
bad credit card numbers?
To see if your number matched a bad number.
Oh yeah.
And I remember when I was selling clothes I was like 17 or 18, I was working at a suit place.
Yep.
And we not only had to do the swiping thing with the big machine there, but you had to look in that book, and if it was over a certain amount, you had to make a phone call. You had to call to get an authorization number.
Really?
To put on the little
sheet
there.
That's right. Yeah.
I worked at a dry cleaners back in the day. We had to do the credit card and look it up in the book, but other than that.
Yeah, you had to call if it was over a certain amount.
Who are you calling?
I don't remember if it was the credit card company or if it was the credit bureau. I have no idea. I can't remember who we called, but it was a.
Can you imagine if you were the credit card company just getting a random call from some suburb in Chicago?
Well, you had to identify, you know, your store number and what, you know, because I think they were all linked, you know, before computers were real prevalent. But you had to call and you had to write a specific authorization number on that carbon sheet because there was a little spot for a reference number.
The carbon sheet.
Yeah, remember those things?
Oh, yeah. We used to wrap up the credit card sheets, and we'd have to stick them in the safe back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, remember the actual ones with the carbon paper in it?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of those quickly because people were starting to save the carbon paper
and then use them
and stealing the numbers and stuff.
That's they finally figured it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, do you guys shake that little thing, the credit card thing, when you get gas?
I do now.
You always have to.
Wait a minute, shake? What?
You know, you actually insert the card.
Right. Oh, yeah, before you put it in?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, I do it at the bank. I reach over and I grab the little lip. Yeah.
And now I put my hand over the keypad before when I type in the zip code.
Mm-hmm. Something's got to give with that. That has to go away somehow.
Yeah.
Don't you think they're going to start doing fingerprints with your credit card?
They're going to do the eye.
My wife got gas a week and a half ago, and it happened to her. There was a skimmer on there. And the way they do it now, they put the skimmer on, and it's Bluetooth, and it goes directly to whoever's sitting across the street, and they get it right away. Because it was charged literally 15 minutes later.
Mm.
Yeah. So if you're at a gas station, moral of the story is shake it, but you're not going to have to sign anymore, according to the credit card companies.
You mean grab the part where you insert the card and shake it back and
shake
forth?
Shake it.
Yeah, make sure it's actually attached to the to the pump. Yeah,
absolutely.
Because the skimmers will shake, and they will come off.
Yep.
Definitely. Look at us. Public service announcement. There it is. 6:29, the big story coming up next with Dave Schwann. Of course, it's the cold weather. It's 7:20 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's your thing. Do what you want to do.
It is 6:40. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. We all need to start 2018 on the right foot. I'm talking mind, body, and spirit. How do we do it? That's where our next guest comes in. He's a yoga master, a martial arts expert, a specialist. He could just rip off our necks right now. And a nutrition and life coach. It's Corey Thomas. Thanks for coming in today.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Livity. What is Livity Chicago?
Livity Chicago is really something that has been on my mind for a long time, and it's just come out of necessity. I think that, you know, I started a yoga center in 2007. I've been taking yoga and going to the gym for a long time, and I'd find that, you know, people then said, where are we going to go to after this? And, you know, Livity is that place you can come to where it's not just a membership where you can only get in if you're a member. It's like anybody can come in. You know, we have the herbal cocktail bar, the food, and then we have yoga also. So we have a mix of a lot of different things, more of like a holistic health community.
Let me ask Andy first. How's your chakra?
Excuse me?
I saw the colors vibrating. He's pulsating, not levitating, like, off of his seat.
Okay. I just learned about chakra about 3 weeks ago. What is chakra? What is this?
They're just different energy centers throughout the body. And it's interesting because a lot of people with yoga want to get into this stuff right away. And it's great. It's really a deeper level of it, you know, where the most important thing is just coming in and experiencing your body and connecting with that. People want to get into these deep concepts.
Well, you have seven chakras in the human body, right?
Mm-hmm.
The head. The third eye. What's the third eye? What is that?
It's really where your pineal gland is, and it's, you know, where people awaken is what they look at.
The throat?
Yes.
Your heart?
Mm-hmm.
The spleen. Why the spleen?
Well, it's in your abdominal, and then you have, you know, your root chakra, the muladhara,
okay.
The Sanskrit. And each area they look at, so like somebody maybe where they have a blockage in their throat chakra is like somebody has a difficult time expressing themselves. So they look at the correlation between things that are going on within you and that particular area.
The solar plexus and the root chakra, what is that?
Yeah, for grounding, that's your muladhara, or like the solar plexus, your heart chakra. So in looking at each of these areas, again, where, you know, people have maybe challenges with love or in how to express self-love or love with others, you know, you'd look at the solar plexus, things like that.
This guy doesn't believe in anything. I love all of it. How do you explain to people like Andy that, well, just what are you talking about?
Because the thing for me too, I mean, is, you know, yoga for someone in my lack of shape and inflexibility is kind of intimidating. I mean, it seems like it's very intimidating to walk into a class and sit there and try to keep up.
You know, I think that's what it is. The problem is there's this image of what it is. And so a lot of people really don't know. It's like those old fitness commercials where they show everybody's in great shape and then you're intimidated to walk in the gym. You remember they had those commercials?
Yeah, of course.
It's the top 2% of the U.S. in this commercial. And it's the same thing with yoga where people talk about inflexibility. It's like, well, that's how you become flexible. Plus, you know, the bigger part of it is that, you know, the bending and stretching or the asana, physical practice of yoga, is only one small part of it anyway.
Okay.
Do everything at your own pace.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have to go in the class and be able to do the, you know, the stretches. And I can barely do anything. I have the flexibility of a 72-year-old man. But someone told me, before you go to a yoga class, and that was one of my resolutions last year, and I did it for 2 months, and of course I fell off, but it's on my list again this year. Watch a 10-minute video on YouTube and kind of start doing that. Because you got YouTube on your phone, and then you go. So you don't feel intimidated. So at least you have some type of visual, because everyone needs a visual. Right, Corey?
You know, I feel that, you know, people, a lot of it is in the mind. Like, you go in there in an intimidated state, but what is there really to be intimidated by? You know, it's a self-practice anyway. So, you know, you just get better by doing it. You know, you should be intimidated to not better yourself. You know, that would be more intimidating or more fearful of not, you know, being in a better place. I'd be more fearful of, you know, getting worse off over time and not doing anything. And
right. We're all afraid of the unknown. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And I find, especially with men are very intimidated to go in there. And it's interesting to me because, you know, when guys come in, they're like, I don't want to be the only guy here. And it's kind of like one of those things about what are women really going to say that, like, oh my gosh, this guy, like, he's not touching his toes with him, you know?
What did I tell you? What's today? Thursday? What did I tell you on Tuesday about taking classes? Well, you're a single guy.
Yeah, I know.
You want to be the only guy in the class.
And, you know, dominate the class.
And what I've found, because I love taking classes now in the last few years, if you're the only guy, if there's only three guys, women embrace that. You know, you become, I don't know, it seems much easier.
Well, I think so, too. And what it is that, you know, women and men's bodies are just different in a lot of our backgrounds, where there's a lot more women that have a background in dance or ballet, gymnastics. So they come in with a degree of flexibility, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily good at yoga. And so guys come in, and a lot of guys are, you know, more into the physical types of things and sports and have football injuries and things like this. And I think the bigger part of yoga isn't doing the pose, it's overcoming that intimidation. Because a big part of yoga is the mind. So when you could go into it with an open mind saying, I'm going to do whatever I can do, and I'm okay with that, that's more of a success than you balancing on your fingertips and feet in the air and all of this stuff, you know?
I got a buddy that played college football. He was an offensive guard. He had back problems his entire life. And 4 years ago, he started taking yoga. He's like, Pete, it changed my life. I mean, it's all about your core, but as you get older, especially guys, I feel like we all have back problems.
Well, it's life. It's the way we sleep. You know, we sit so many hours every day, and then people watch a few hours of TV, so we're
hunched over.
Oh, totally.
So we're always hunching over. Yeah,
computers.
Yeah, and I think that with guys, all it is, too, is that it's just doing something different. And, you know, for yoga, it's great. You connect in different ways with yourself, and within the community, it's a little bit different, because when you can break down your mind and just say, listen, I'm going to go in there and let the class be what it is, and then you come in there and you come out and you have all these people around you that are feeling amazing, and I have a positive mindset and a positive attitude, you know, there is really no failure in a class.
What do you say to the guy that's driving on the Dan Ryan right now saying to himself, I'll never take a yoga class? What do you say to that guy?
You have to overcome your mind, because, you know, what is your fear? You know, a lot of guys, it's like, it is that intimidation of looking vulnerable in front of women, I believe, and they don't want to be shown up by someone. And it's like, well, how can you be good at something you've never done?
Yeah, good point.
Corey Thomas in studio with us, Liberty Chicago. What's the website?
It's Liberty Chicago, LIVITY Chicago.com.
That's pretty easy. Raj, we'll get to your question, but first we got to do traffic, okay?
Not a problem.
All right.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
LIVITY Chicago.com. 650, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. In studio with us is Corey Kelly. I was calling you Corey Thomas. Thomas is your middle name.
Yes.
Corey Kelly, Liberty Chicago. We've been talking about yoga. I have a question, but first, Raj, what'd you have for Corey?
Well, a long time ago, I thought I would try to get a center to my life, so I signed up for some Tai Chi classes, and I'm wondering what the comparison is between yoga and that, because a lot of people think Tai Chi is a defensive fighting thing, but it's more centering.
You know, it's really interesting. I studied Tai Chi, and we do have Tai Chi at Liberty. And what's interesting is one day somebody asked how it was practical, and the teacher I was studying with was almost 80 years old, and he showed you how it can be self-defensive when you're using it. But I actually teach a class. It's an energetic self-defense class with Tai Chi as its foundation, teaching you how to really slow yourself down and, you know, work with the energy that's around you. So when... And this is a great segue into the yoga, where it works with your mind. I had done Tai Chi before yoga. And with Tai Chi, it really is about learning to slow your movements down, slowing your mind down, connecting with the moment. And where that's really applicable is you look at something like football. You take these college athletes that are exceptional. You put them in the pros, and everybody's really fast. The game goes too fast for them because they've not learned how to slow their mind down. When you learn to slow your mind down, you see everything coming no matter how fast it is. Almost like that Matrix.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up, because yoga, you think stretching, but it's about calming your mind. When was the last time you went into a room and just relaxed and calmed your mind? Nobody does that.
You know, there's a real big misconception. People think that you need to, like, be sitting there and have your mind totally clear and be up in the mountains and all this. You know,
and try to clear your mind. Nobody can do that.
Well, I was in a yoga class one time, and the teacher says, think about nothing. I'm like, think? When you said think, you're telling me to think about nothing.
Right.
It's like that scene in Ghostbusters, you know, like, don't think about anything. You think about the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man coming at you.
Yep.
So I think that the bigger part of it is that people don't realize they're already doing it. They're doing it when they're listening listening to a song. They're doing it when they're, you know, maybe playing basketball or painting or doing something with your kids or your family that you just feel, you know, decorating your Christmas tree. You know, that could be something that's meditative for you, and where you're just sitting there and you're just totally in that moment.
Do you see a bigger need for it, too, now? I mean, especially these days with technology being what it is. I mean, I was telling you in the break. I mean, I have my iPhone on my hand pretty much all day, all night. I've got my iPad that's right on the nightstand right by my bed. I mean, it almost seems like people need this more now because of the fact that you're so tied into all that stuff.
Yeah, the faster everything goes, the more we have the need to slow our minds down. And I think that, you know, people need to really find the outlet that works best for them. And whether it is something painting or whether it's doing Tai Chi or yoga, you know, they've got to start somewhere. And over time, it's one of those things where you can actually just sit there and learn to breathe. And by doing this, you can start to learn to focus yourself a lot more. And that's one of the big things about Liberty. It's creating a holistic community where you can just come in there and it's like there's no need for your phone right now. Turn your left, turn your right. You're going to meet somebody absolutely amazing.
Corey, what do you think about the meditation apps? Have you tried any of those? Because I tried one, and I know they're a little kooky, but, you know, you have somebody telling you, okay, just breathe, relax, think about something peaceful, you know?
You know, I don't think that there's anything wrong with what works for each individual. You know, so if an app works for somebody and that's their access, not everybody has access to something. In Chicago, we have a lot of great, you know, amazing places for meditation and Tai Chi and yoga and a lot of other things. And not everybody has that access. So if the app is the best access you have, then go with it.
Are you an athlete? Did you play ball? You look like an athlete. Doesn't he? He looks like a basketball player.
You know, I've always been involved in sports, and, you know, big thing for me doing theater and doing a lot of, you know, community types of things has been, you know, I've been very diverse with my background, art.
When did you decide to open this place?
You know what? Many years ago. And it was just finding the right place, and, you know, I was really patient with it. And then, you know, it was literally, I was like, okay, I'm done looking for a little while. And my friend tells me, I was teaching a yoga class, and there's about 40 people in the class. He came in, and one after another, he saw them. People coming, I feel amazing, thank you. He said, just go look one more time. And I did, and Liberty was there. And it, you know, I walked into the place, and, you know, I've been in the restaurant business a long time, and there's, you know, a restaurant there, and there's a bar there, and there's a big open space. So it was all coming together to have this, you know, thing. It was beyond what I ever imagined.
What is the herb cafe that you mentioned, or what was it?
Yeah, we have herbal tonics and kombuchas on tap. And
so what do those do?
You know what they, you know, it creates a social, you know, I think, avenue for people to where we have like these drinks. People refer to them as a mocktail, but it's really a drink. It just doesn't have alcohol. And it creates that outlet. And especially there's a lot of people that don't drink or people that have challenges, you know, in their past with alcohol and the bar environment. So what I think is what's important for people is that familiarity. You know, when you go into somewhere, what's your options at night, especially for someone single? What do? Let's go for coffee. So you're going to go there, stimulate yourself with some caffeine, and then sit there and listen to some music that you're just like, it's not really entertaining. You're like, let's have fun.
Yeah.
You know, and you're stimulated and relaxed. And so I think that having a great social outlet is what it is. So it looks, smells, sounds like, you know, for people. So you have this, you know, it's something on tap that you're used to getting something on tap, but it's a lot healthier for you.
I love it. Corey Kelly, libertychicago.com, and all the information is right on the website.
Yes, LIVITY Chicago.com, and we're gonna have some pictures soon with the two of you guys in there bending, stretching, and again, just come. All it is come in there.
Just show up. I feel like this 95% is just showing up, and once you're there, you're gonna be pleasantly surprised. Right?
You know, and then it's showing up and just coming back. And don't worry, I'll be like your yoga wingman over here. So if you come in here, if we're the only guys in the room, it's cool.
There's your wingman.
Yeah, I'm your yoga wing guy over here.
I love it. Yeah. Corey Kelly, thanks for coming in, man.
Hey guys, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
It's 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
709, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. We love to meet Chicagoans who make a difference. I met this guy when I was getting things framed at his business. Cushing is a creative print and display graphics company. The Cushing family started this business back in 1929. Joining us is the executive vice president, Joe Cushing. Thanks for waking up and driving in from Park Ridge this morning. How you doing? Did you shower?
I did shower. That's okay. One essential. Thanks, Pete.
You received the Spirit of Life Award at the City of Hope's annual gala. What is this?
City of Hope is a one of many, probably about 20 comprehensive care centers in the country, but they're exceptional because they set aside about 70% of the resources to science and research. Their physical location, they build on their hospital so they can execute what they're researching. And it's just a really truly translational medical center that really cares about curing and not just going through the same treatments over and over again.
You've supported this organization for over 20 years. How'd you get involved 20 years ago?
A client called and said, hey, I'm going to get an award this year, and I need you to come buy a table, get in the room, fill the room, and I was happy to do that.
How Chicago is that? How many times do you hear that? People, you know, grab a table, and next thing you know, you get involved in this thing, and here we are 20 years later.
Yep. I looked around and thought, wow, these are all my clients. Business back then was all blueprints, not so much graphical. And I thought, wow, I got to get involved. And then two siblings got stricken with cancer, unfortunately.
After you got involved?
Correct.
Terrible. And they passed away.
Correct.
And then, of course, you want to get more involved because this happened in your family.
Yeah, then you don't miss a meeting after that. You know, you set aside the time. And one day I walked into a meeting that said, you got to be present. I said, you're crazy. I'm a vendor. I really don't sell a lot of tables. But they leaned on me and said, well, it's a temporary thing. And that was about 8 years ago. So
you're the president.
Of the council, correct.
I mean, I love stories like this because once you get involved, it's like, oh my God, it's a great organization and we're going to run with this.
Yeah, I said no, flat out no. But there's a group of close pals that remember that meeting, and I was late for the meeting. Let's just put it that way.
I mean, you put your money where your mouth is. A lot of people talk the talk, but they don't talk the walk or walk the talk. Yes, that's what I meant to say. Walk the talk.
I mean,
and you do that.
That's very kind of you to put it that way. It's easy to be passionate about. To go there is to drink the Kool-Aid immediately. Just meeting the people there, they really, really are enthused about what they do. So it's self-sustaining, let's just put it that way.
City of Hope, there are physical locations in California, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Started in the desert. There were tuberculosis patients in the 1910s who were sent there to die compassionately.
You're kidding.
No, it was crazy. And there was a guy who took that. Then they cured TB, and he was very, very, very much about compassionate care with dignity. And he realized that people were being sent there from all sorts of life, rich and poor, all, you know, heritages. And he thought, this, we need to continue this. And that's developed into cancer research. And
you know, over 20 years supporting this organization, have you been out there toward the facility?
Oh, yeah.
What's it like?
It's a remote campus. It's a vast campus now because it's out in Duarte, outside of, I'm drawing a blank here. Where's the Rose Bowl parade?
Oh, Pasadena.
Outside of Pasadena. So yeah. It was out in the desert. That's what, you know, the TB patients were, you know, quarantined.
Isn't that crazy back in the day? Just go out to the desert and die.
Correct.
It was
pretty rough stories.
Crazy. And it's a comprehensive cancer center, which is the highest recognition by the National Cancer Institute. I didn't know this until I read it on your website.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
And there are several. There are several great hospitals on this planet, and many of them in the country, but none of them dedicate, you know, 20 to 30 studies that are going on at all times.
Right.
The resources they have. They now have built a facility to execute the development of drugs because the FDA will get things approved. They'll do all that paperwork for their researchers, and they couldn't wait for the manufacturers. So they started manufacturing drugs as well. They're really committed to executing what they do and not letting patents sit on the wall for years and years, which happens.
Everybody has a cancer story.
Correct.
I mean, you're always linked to somebody that has some type of cancer story, or you're personally affected by it.
Absolutely.
How do you get people involved? I feel like we're bombarded with all types of charity things every single day. I mean, we get, you know, being on the radio, I get requests, you know, 5-10 a week.
Yeah.
How do you get people involved?
It's hard. You know, you find them. You find one or two new council members a year. Someone who's just kind of either sniffing around at a meeting or found out about this trip and came along with their coworker. We have a REACH social in the spring where people, you know, all into rock and roll, the construction and the real estate community holds an event at the House of Blues. And you find people.
Well, now you have my attention.
Yeah, there you go.
What is this event like? Tell me about it.
It's like a battle of the bands and the construction, real estate, architect community. A lot of hanger-oners, my age or older, still leading their bands. Which
is
awesome.
What do you play?
Not myself.
Okay.
Nope. Just guys who keep the band alive. And again, it's like a little bit of battle of the bands in April. the Reach Social benefiting the City of Hope. So you need to find people there who are highly enthused, who are not rockers or who are rockers but actually don't play guitar. And we drag them out of the council or get them involved some other way.
So. Those are fun events.
Absolutely.
To get people involved. Andy, I'm sure you get it all the time.
Yeah, we get asked to do a lot of things, you know, MC things or donate, whatever. But, yeah, I'm just curious, you know, in the time that you've spent there, how much has it changed? I mean, is it progress gets in the things, and obviously the money is used for that kind of thing.
I mean, great question. The buildings they build, Andy. I mean, I remember back going there probably about 11 years ago was my first visit. And they had a little community. They never turned a patient away, going back to the 30s. And you could see these homes. And it's like a little mini campus of nice, trailer homes, really. And now you can't even see that anymore, you know, from one of the towers. That is a prominent tower. Incredible master plan. The real estate, they're laying it out to be pleasant, appealing in terms of how people get around campus. There's a bunch of golf carts going around. They truly are taking coolers full of samples across. They freeze cells there. It's pretty incredible.
Isn't that crazy? Think about the progress that they make year after year with cancer research. I mean, and you hear about these rare forms of cancer, and any type of funding can help these small programs that, you know, aren't like pancreatic cancer and things like that.
Correct.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Steve Rosen who left Northwestern after about 25 years there as the most prominent cancer doctor at Northwestern, which is an incredible place. And he just took the invite to go out there and take what he has been passionate about to another level. And he's recruiting a dream team of physicians and researchers around the country.
And you do the No Shave November with your coworkers at Cushing?
I did jump in again this year, yes.
You left the beard. You still have it.
I got a little bit of a scruff, yeah.
Nice.
Irritating the wife a little bit.
I mean, we have a mutual friend, of course, your coworker, Christine Fetting, who I've known forever. I love Fetting. And she said, yes, you got to meet this guy, Joe. I go, who's Joe? Who is this guy? Well, he runs the company, Cushing Company. So when I get there, of course, we start talking. You come from a large family. I come from a large family. You love doing charity work. I love doing charity work. And we wanted you to tell your story on the radio.
You're wonderful. That was very, very nice.
Well, you're one of those Chicagoans that do so much for the community that needs to be spotlighted. Because if people hear about a guy like you, they're going to take note and say, maybe I should do more charity work. So you're going to motivate other people.
Well, that would be great. You're too kind, though. I'm just doing what I do because it's a lot more fun than selling printing.
Of course. And what's your website? People can check out Cushing.
www.cushingco.com.
Cushingco.com. Joe Cushing.
Beautiful.
Happy New Year, man. It's good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah.
Cool and at a bar, and I'm looking for some action. But like Mick Jagger said, I can't get no satisfaction. The girls are all around, but none of them want to get with me. My threads are fresh, and I'm looking deaf. Yo, what's up with LOC?
.721 WGN. He is a former Chicago Blackhawk, number 27, has over 500 goals in his career, and his jersey should be hanging from the rafters at the United Center. It's our good buddy from NBC Sports, Jeremy Roenick. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. How are you?
Hi, Pete. How you doing, buddy? Yeah, same to you. I'm glad it's over the holidays. My goodness.
I love following you on Instagram. You had a great family picture that you posted on Christmas. You got a good-looking family, by the way.
Yeah, my wife is she's done a very good job. It's definitely no, you know, nothing to do with me, but she's a good breeder. There's no question. Thank you. I appreciate that.
But one of the things that you posted was a video of you grabbing a rattlesnake. Was it in your garage by hand?
It was in the garage and probably, you know, hibernating in there for the winter time. You don't see them too often at this time, but it was tucked away under some boxes that we had stored in the garage, and my wife found it and pretty much freaked out. So I had to rescue her. You know what I mean?
So he grabs an iron, his golf club, and then he holds the head and grabs it by his hands and throws it out in the desert. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Well, you got to get rid of them. And, you know, I kept them alive. I threw them next door. I'm not a big fan of my neighbors, so I just threw them into the next door neighbor's yard. And, you know, if I would have called the, you know, the Animal Protection Agency or the fire department, they would have killed it.
So, right.
You know, I just did the right thing by just, putting it in, relocating it. It just moved.
And you were just at the White House for the White House Christmas party.
Yeah, again, yeah, the excitement never stops, right? It's
how does that happen? How does JR get an invite?
Just, you know, I have friends. I have friends in very, 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 very high places. So I was, you know, the place was amazing. I mean, the history behind that building and being in there and, you know, knowing who walked the halls and just seeing the, you know, just the class that building possesses. It was amazing. It was a great, great, great party.
Was that your first time at the White House?
Yeah, I didn't have the pleasure of winning a championship, so I never really got to go. But hopefully that's not my last time there.
So I sent JR a text. I said, hey, I'm filling in for Cochran. Do you want to come on the show? And he's like, no problem. I'm at the White House. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I'm here for the Christmas party. I go, I don't believe it. So you take a selfie of yourself and your wife in a hallway somewhere. And I said to you, I said, steal me a napkin with the White House logo. And he wouldn't do it.
I said, yeah, probably not the best idea to do in the White House. Anything steel in White House, just they don't go together.
But it's a napkin. It's a napkin. Yeah, they're not going to miss it.
Federal offense.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm not taking a chance because in government today, you have no idea what kind of screws they'll screw to you there. So I just assume just stay on the safe side.
All right, let's talk Blackhawks. You heard the news about Crawford. What was your first reaction?
Oh no!
Yeah,
especially at this time of the year, the position that they're in the standings, they're you know, to see how well Crawford has played over the last month, and you know, the Hawks have won games because of Crawford's play strictly, and having him out is especially you know, starting the second half of the year, it's not a good sign. But you know, hopefully the young kids can pick up a step and they can score some more goals because they're in that battle for that playoff spot. A lot of people in the hockey world wondering whether the Hawks are going to make the playoffs. That bothers me, and it makes me a little bit more nervous now.
Yeah, obviously you never want to lose your top goalie. As you mentioned, and Crawford's responsible for several wins that the Blackhawks have on their record this year. I mean, and ideally, though, does it mean now that the guys that are in front of now Anton Forsberg are going to have to step up because they kind of take for granted when Corey's back there?
Well, there's no question a goaltender brings so much more peace and confidence to a hockey team, and especially in number one. When you go in with your number two, there's always a question of, okay, how's he going to perform? How's he going to do? We have to make sure we tighten it up. We have to play a little bit harder. We have to check a little bit more, a little bit stronger. And, you know, there's a lot of things that go into, you know, not having your reliable number one. So you just get a little bit more uncomfortable, but not to mention these guys are confident in their goaltenders and in their teammates. But still, you know, if a bad goal goes in, you sit there going, oh boy, you know, what's going to happen here?
Yeah.
So it's interesting scenario.
Well, it's all about consistency too. I mean, they won five in a row and then they lose two. They just need to stay consistent. How do you do that?
Preparation, man.
Yeah.
You guys, PD, you don't walk into that studio and just start talking and expect to have a good show. You got to do your homework. You got to know, you have to have a printout. You have to, you know, think about what you're going to say. You have to write down some of the things you're going to say, what you're going to talk about. It's the same in hockey. If you don't go into a game preparing to play as hard as you can and preparing to do your job in certain situations, if you just show up and think that your instincts are going to allow you to be successful, you're crazy. It's a preparation and the professionalism that has to be upheld.
What were the practices like with Mike Keenan back in the day when you played for him?
Scary. Every day was scary. There was no comfort in that locker room. And when you're winning, everything was great. We'd have tough practices. And, you know, Mike Keenan would have us on edge all the time. And he would not allow us to become comfortable. And, you know, that caused fights in the locker room. We caused fights in practice. I mean, I think we had more fights in a 1 week's practice than probably this Blackhawks team has had all year.
Oh my gosh.
On the ice, in a game. It was definitely a survival of the fittest type of mentality, right? So you had to be strong mentally and you had to be strong physically.
When you look back, I know you wrote about this in your book, but when you look back, did you enjoy that, or you look back and or you hated it at the time, but you enjoyed it, but you look back and say, wow, that was a learning experience? And do you appreciate Mike, or do you still think he's a psychopath?
Well, I think it's all the above. You know, Mike was a psychopath. He's not anymore. He's just, you know, I think he's grown and learned a lot. And, you know, those days back in, you know, in the early 90s, late 80s, you know, were they scary at the time? And did you feel bad that someone got beat up? Yes. But in retrospect, it made you tougher. It made you more respectful, and it made you more loyal because you were accountable, 100% accountable. And that's, you know, that's unfortunately a lot of millennials and a lot of young kids today have zero accountability.
Yeah, they're soft.
It's always somebody else's fault.
They are soft. We sound like our parents now. Those kids are soft nowadays.
The pajama boys. That's what I'll call them. The pajama boys,
because they wear their PJs everywhere. Absolutely. And excuse me, number 88 just scored his 300th goal. You've always loved Kaner. You've always been in his corner. He went through some tough times, and you were always behind him. Where does he stand with the Blackhawk greats?
Oh, there's no question. He's one of the best that ever donned the jersey, and already, you know, at 29, almost 30 years old, he's, you know, he will have a statue out in front of that building. When you win three cups and you win scoring titles and MVPs and do what Kaner has been able to do, and that scare the daylights out of pretty much every defenseman that's skated on the ice with him. You go down in the annals of history, and he will do that. It's how good can he actually get, right? How many points is he going to actually be? Will he be able to make 500? If you think about it, if he's played seven more years at a real high level,
right?
He's got to score 30, you know, in 30 for the next 7 years to get 500. You think about that. I mean, that's a lot of goals in a very short amount of time for him to reach 500. So he's, you know, I hope he does it, but he is going to go down as the best American, I think, most talented, him and Medano. But sky's the limit for the kid. I love him. I think he's awesome.
How impressive is it, too, that he's not just a goal scorer anymore? I mean, the guy plays two ways. He's back on defense, and he's kind of learned that part of the game.
Yeah, I definitely think that his maturity level has really, really grown. And, you know, obviously you make mistakes when you're a kid, and, you know, I did too. And, you know, he's learned from those mistakes, and I think he's really, he's changed his image off the ice, and he's become more dominant on the ice and more of a complete player, because he wants to be that guy that is relied upon. He wants to be one of those leaders, you know, even though he doesn't have an A on his shirt, doesn't mean every guy doesn't look at Patrick Kane and sees how he works and how he plays.
He's got a great family structure too. His parents come to town multiple times a year. He's got a great family.
I love his dad. I haven't met his mom yet, but I've seen his dad around town and at games, and he's always really pleasant, very respectful, and very complimentary of my career, and I appreciate that. It's nice coming from a dad, from a parent. It's good stuff.
And when are you back in Chicago?
I don't know. I got a crazy schedule. We got Winter Classic coming up this weekend, which is going to be pretty crazy in New York and frigid. It's going to be one of the coldest Winter Classics that we can remember in recent past. Maybe up there with Michigan at the Big House. That was the coldest I've ever been, but I think that I might match that this week. Then And then I'm heading ahead to Florida for a golf tournament, back to New York, then back to Florida to do a Golf Channel show. I'm working on a show on the Golf Channel. And then we go to the Olympics. Then we go to the Super Bowl and then the Olympics. So
oh, my God. I forgot the
March.
Forgot about the Olympics. That's March. Right. Jeremy Roenick, JR, great to talk to you, man. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, Petey. Hey, Petey, really quick for all everybody in the Chicagoland, I'm bringing my hockey school back to Glacier Ice in Vernon Hills. So anybody want to come join my hockey school in July, go to jrhockeyschool.com. It's the kids had a blast last year. We're gonna up the ante this year, so check
fantastic.
It out.
Love it. Thanks, JR. We'll talk
JR
soon.
JR Hockey School, jrhockeyschool.com. I love you, Petey. Talk to you later.
See you, buddy. He is just the best. Love him. All right, the big story coming up next. Roy Moore is trying to sue in Alabama. He doesn't believe the election results. Dave Schwann will have details coming up next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Under budget, ahead of schedule.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Where essentially I'm the president.
On Chicago's very own.
I love Chicago. I know Chicago.
720 WGN.
We can look out the Allstate Showcase Studios at Trump Tower. Right here. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran this week. Our next guest, he's the former chairman for the Illinois Republican Party, a former federal and state prosecutor. His business is called Next Generation Strategy. He talks politics every Thursday on this show. It's Pat Brady. I got to ask you about Roy Moore right off the bat. How you doing, man?
Yeah. Good, man. How are you guys?
Good.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to everybody.
Roy Moore is suing because he says he thinks voter fraud has happened, wants a temporary restraining order.
Yeah, even his Republican attorney general from the state of Alabama thinks that that suit doesn't have any merit. So it's a long shot Hail Mary by him. Interestingly, he released the results of a polygraph test he took 4 days after the election, which lo and behold reveals that he didn't know some of the women that he previously admitted to knowing. So hopefully we get rid of Roy Moore and he just fades into history as a footnote. But what a terrible candidate and all the damage he's done to the Republican Party. I guess we'll wait to 2018 in November to see how much damage he inflicted, but it was all bad for Republicans.
Well, what happens? Will there be let's talk about that. Is the fallout a resurgence of the GOP after tax cuts? What's going to happen in 2018 with the midterms?
Yeah, I think we're probably in a lot better shape than the Democrats would lead you to believe. I think that when this tax cut takes effect, which it will on January 1st, and people start seeing more money in their paychecks, that they're going to like it. If you're making $55,000 family of four, you'll pay no federal tax. If you're making $75,000 family of four, you'll get $2,000 tax dollars back, or $2,000 your dollars back. So I think it's a net positive for Republicans. And the longer that this law is in effect, and the more people see what its effect is going to be, I think it will help Republicans. But make no mistake about it: when you have a president with a 35% approval rating going into a midterm election where you traditionally lose seats, it's going to be a tough year for us, but I don't think nearly as bad as the Democrats are hoping.
Did you see this week that Trump's vacation time came out? He spent 111 days at resorts or his hotels this year.
Yeah, and that's after the criticisms he had of President Obama,
right,
for playing golf. You know, I don't begrudge either. Being president's a tough job. If you need to get out on the golf course, that makes you more effective, or you can do business on the golf course. Actually, I remember when President Obama had John Boehner and Joe Biden, those guys play golf together. If that works, that's fine. I didn't like it when either side criticized the other for that, but Trump seems a little excessive, but maybe it's better to get him out of Washington.
We're talking with Pat Brady on the phone with us. Republicans want a clean house at the FBI and the Justice Department. They're calling it a deep purge, Pat. What is it? And what's going to happen?
Well, I tell you what, I haven't heard that kind of language, purge, since the Stalin days in the old Soviet Union. So I don't know. Some of the crackpots on the far right of the Republican Party are making these claims. But my idea is this, and this is a guy that used to work in the Justice Department. The FBI is the first line of defense in the CIA in the war on terror, particularly since 2001, reshaped and led by Robert Mueller through two Republican and a Democratic president. So to criticize this institution to me and make these baseless claims, these wide-ranging claims, is irresponsible. And the reality is they're just trying to deflect away from the investigation, delegitimize the Russian investigation. The same thing the Clintons did in the 90s. They and when you don't have the facts or you don't have anything to offer and a valid defense, you criticize right. the accusers like the Clintons did. And that's what they're doing here. They're trying to delegitimize the process. But I think to read the tea leaves on this, you got to go, if you really had anything that exonerated you, to show that you're not guilty or that Kushner or some of these other people actually aren't guilty of the crimes right. they've been charged with or pled guilty to, then present it. But they don't have that, so they have to attack the process, which is always a losing proposition. In Wait. Fact, the president's press secretary said a year ago, when you're attacking the FBI, you're losing.
You and Steve talk about this week after week. It's basic human behavior. If you're innocent, let the process run its course. And if you have any type of evidence, bring it forward. It's simple
exactly.
if you're innocent.
Exactly. Exactly. To me, even more so, when you're president of the United States and you're supposed to be leader of the country, you don't criticize one of the institutions that's really important to this country, and that's the judiciary and the Justice Department, the FBI. Just don't debase those institutions, and that's what he does to try to save himself. And that to me is what's so sad about what he's trying to do.
Right.
But it doesn't work. The facts are the facts, and Bob Mueller doesn't care what Donald Trump thinks of him. He's going to present the facts, and the grand jury will make a decision, or the Justice Department will make a decision of whether or not they're going to charge somebody. And that's the good thing about the system. There's a system of checks and balances, and there's some independence and separation.
Right. I'm going to have you hold on a second. I want to talk about what you think is the biggest political story of the year when we come back after traffic, okay?
Sure.
All right. Pat Brady on the phone with us. Let's take a look at traffic. Here's Roger.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Right now, our state is in real crisis, and the actions we take in the days ahead will determine how history remembers us. We can all do better. We must all do better for the citizens of Illinois. We've asked the General Assembly to come together in a special session for the next 10 days, not as Democrats and Republicans, but as leaders who share bipartisan concern for our state's future. We must agree on a balanced budget plan and get it to my desk before the end of the state's fiscal year, 1 week from Friday.
7:54 on the phone with us, Pat Brady, talking politics. I forgot about the governor's race. Who is the last two standing? It's going to be Rauner and who else, in your opinion?
Well, it appears to be J.B. Pritzker, because the Speaker Madigan, that's his candidate. He's gathered all the people behind J.B. He's got all the unions. He's got a lot of the elected officials' endorsements, and he's got the endorsement of Speaker Madigan. That's his guy. And so it'll probably be Governor Rauner against J.B. Pritzker come November.
What do you think? It was about a month ago where Rauner said he's not in charge. What did you think about that statement?
Well, what he's saying is actually factually true. He's not in charge of the legislative process, and that's why Speaker Madigan has so much power. He's so rigged the game in Springfield. Everything that goes through the legislature, which is a co-equal branch of government, is controlled by the Speaker, and that's why we didn't get a budget. That's why we have people in the Democratic side saying they'll never give the governor a victory on anything.
Right.
So he does have a whole lot of control. And people in the state realize what he said and what he meant. And Mike Madigan does control a good percentage of what goes on in the state of Illinois. And that's good for him, but it's been bad for the state for the last, 43 years.
Do you think that's part of the reason Lisa, his daughter, Lisa Madigan, is stepping down as AG?
You know, I'm not sure exactly why she did it, but I know there was a poll that was taken right before she stepped down that had her at a 34% approval rating, and plus the fact that the Republicans, we put up Erica Harold, Harvard-educated African-American lawyer, who happened to be a win the Miss USA pageant, very articulate, very smart young woman, and I think that represents a lot of the change that the people in the state of Illinois want. And Lisa Madigan, this would have been, I think, her fourth term. And the Madigan name statewide is toxic. I
yeah.
think Mike Madigan polls in the mid-teens. And so, hey, I don't blame her for it. She was going to have a real big fight, and she didn't want to go out a loser, and she can live to fight another day. She's still very young, and there's a lot of people that still like her. But I think she made a smart move getting out, because it would have been an uphill climb, I think, against Erica, which I think it will be for whomever Democrats nominee.
Andy, you got anything for Pat Brady?
Just want to say hi and Merry Christmas and wish you a Happy New Year.
Hey, buddy, good.
Yeah, you know I stay out of this kind of stuff, right? Just between you and me, we talk off the air.
Andy is not a Trump supporter, and I said earlier off the air that I think President Trump has taken the Republicans more to the center because he's so out there. Would you agree with that, Pat?
Well, he's not a conservative, so he's a populist. A lot of the things that he believes in, I certainly don't believe in. But I think that the party has gone too far to the right in a lot of respects. And I wish we'd get back to the party of Reagan and some of the things that they're more common sense conservatives. They're compassionate conservatives,
right?
And strong on national defense and foreign policy and free traders. But that's not what Trump is. But you know. I kind of put politics away during the holiday, and most of the time I spend making prank phone calls to Cochran.
You do that too, huh? All right, nice.
We all do.
Yeah, I send him pizzas and sign him up. You know what you do is you go online. I sign him up for all different kind of campaigns and things, people that will call you all the time.
Good for you. I bet he loves that. The biggest political story of the year, in your opinion, Pat Brady?
The Me Too. The sexual harassment allegations that came out both in the public and in the private sectors. It's a big story in Washington. I think it's a game changer. I think it's going to motivate a lot of women to come out and vote in 2018. And I think the bad news for Republicans is that Donald Trump is slowly but surely eroding any gains that we made with educated suburban females. And right. We need those votes to win. And I think we've got a long time to do it here. We've got a year, which is a life, double lifetime in politics. But we need to get back to our core message on the fiscal issues, get off the social issues, and get off the Twitter.
When Donald Trump turns off my mother, who lives in Peoria and is a staunch Republican, you know something is wrong. Really, you're absolutely right. He's turned off every female in the United States.
Yeah, and that they're the majority of the voters right now, and they are. The good news for Republicans, a lot of them are fiscal conservatives. They run the households. They understand money, and we can't lose that group, and we're slowly losing them. But I do believe that a lot of these political races, it's a cliche, but politics is local, and they respect and understand their current elected officials that are Republicans and understand that they're not all Donald Trump people. But he's done a lot of damage to the brand, there's no doubt.
Right. Yeah, just one quick question about that, too. I mean, we talked about, I think when you were in last time I was here, we had a local candidate that was running for Senate and or for Congress. And that local level, is this turmoil kind of motivating more, not only Democrats, but Republicans as well, to try to get involved?
More so Democrats. We talked to Eric, he's usually on with me, Eric Edelstein. He will say that the Democrats, he's never seen them more motivated, and they do had a lot of women that were running that Virginia race a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. 10 of the 14 winners in the delegate race were women. But from that interview last weekend, the one takeaway I took from it anyway, when Steve asked him the question, will you support Nancy Pelosi, he didn't answer it. And the big problem that Democrats are going to have is they're going to have to answer that question. And Nancy Pelosi is very unpopular. And what do they stand for? And I think they are struggling with that right now. Like, they're screaming about the Republicans' tax reform bill, but the Democrats have never proposed a middle-class tax cut. So they got to figure out what they stand for.
Yeah, they need a message. You're right. Pat Brady, tell everybody why you couldn't come in today.
Because I'm sitting in the Cayman Islands. Our family tradition is we forego a lot of the presents and go somewhere warm. So it's only 82 today.
I sent him a text yesterday. I go, are you ready for tomorrow? He sends me a picture back drinking a Corona Light and hanging by the beach. That's very nice.
Is 82 the temperature or what you shot yesterday?
Well, there's no golf down here. I got Corona Light. I got to keep. It's all good. But it's a family tradition, so it's very good. Hope you guys had a good holiday too, and we'll see you next week, hopefully.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Bye, Pat.
See ya. You too. Thanks, guys.
Pat Brady, on every Thursday on the Steve Cochran Show. Straight up 8 o'clock. We'll check news coming up next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran this week. Dean is off today and tomorrow, so we are going to talk entertainment with Josh Hill from Fansided.com. It's great to talk to you, man. Long time no talk.
Yeah, long time no talk. I hope you had a good holiday, Pete.
I had a great holiday, and this is usually the slow time of the year where all the lists come out in entertainment. Are you used to that?
Oh, yeah. This is the grind time of the year, the award season. Everybody's got to come out with their top 10 list.
So the top grossing actor of 2017. I don't know the answer to this. So, you think right away Tom Cruise, but he's never in the top 10 anymore, is he?
No, not really. I mean, he doesn't really do enough movies. You know, he used to back in the late 90s, early 2000s, but it seems like he's been occupied in other areas of his life, and other people have kind of taken that throne from him.
I'm going to say The Rock or Kevin Hart, because I feel like they have a movie out every other month.
I'm actually a big fan of The Rock and Kevin Hart's little duo that they have going on. It kind of came out of nowhere. You think about these two guys that really don't have that much in common. And, yeah. And now it's like every single time they put a movie out, like they can remake Jumanji.
Right.
And everybody's going to go see it. Like it's incredible.
So who is the top grossing actor of 2017? Do you know?
Yeah, I actually do. The top grossing actor of 2017, The Rock is number two.
Oh.
But Mark Wahlberg is actually number one. Somehow,
what?
Mark Wahlberg has once again taken the top slot. Yeah. It's because he does things like Daddy's Home 2, but then he also has, All the Money in the World, the movie with Ridley Scott coming out. So he's able to balance, the actors like to say they like to make these movies, these jokey kind of comedy, family comedy movies to pay the bills so that they can then go and make a movie with Ridley Scott for less money. But Mark Wahlberg, I mean, you think about it, he's on DirecTV commercials, he's on, every single thing that you're looking at. He's on Instagram talking about the Patriots.
Oh my
gosh.
He's
everywhere. He's more present than you'd think about. So, and there he is,
God,
number one in the Forbes list.
I forgot about that. The DirecTV commercials, too. I follow Mark Wahlberg on Instagram. I love following celebrities on Instagram because you get a little peek into their lives. By the way, Katie Couric, the best follow, because Katie will talk into the camera with no makeup and she's just bare bones. I love her. But Mark Wahlberg, I swear to you, he puts a video up every day without a shirt. He talks about his workouts. Well, this is what I'm doing. He's doing a new movie where he's got to get his body fat down. I think his body fat right now is like at 6%. But also, Josh, also a great follow on Instagram is The Rock. The Rock is funny. He has videos up almost every single day. And you look at the videos, there's 1.2 million views in a half hour. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's insane. Like, we recently did a Fandom 250 thing for FanSide where we ranked the best fandoms in the world. And The Rock was he was in the top five. And Mark Wahlberg wasn't anywhere on the top 250. So that goes to show, not to take anything away from Wahlberg's top grossing amount, but, The Rock has actual fans that go and see him. Whereas I think Mark Wahlberg might be, I don't think he says no to anything. So you'll make money if you do that.
Mark Wahlberg, I don't think gets enough credit. I think he's a very good actor.
Oh, he's a great actor. But he recently disowned Boogie Nights, which is one of the best films he's ever been in. So I don't know if that's maybe his decision making has gone down a little bit. But you can only maintain the type of success he has for a while. But he's still going, so
right. More
power to him. Nobody's looking at shirtless pictures of me on Instagram.
So,
they are Mark Wahlberg. So
the top grossing actor of 2017 is Mark Wahlberg, followed by The Rock. Who is number three? Is it Kevin Hart?
I actually don't know that the top five, but I just, the top two are really, that's where it goes off. I believe that Tom Cruise is somewhere in the top 10. There's a Bollywood actor in the top 10 as well. So that goes to show there's a lot of prowess there for those actors.
And you brought up Jumanji. It's the second movie, right? It's number two? Or is it one?
Yeah, it's one of those things where they reboot it while also making a sequel. I like to call them legacy sequels because they tap into the old fan base and kind of update it. But whereas Star Wars was kind of a remake of the first movie,
yeah. This
one kind of goes off and does its own thing. Like there's there's subtle references to the first movie, but
okay. It's
not, they're not hammering the nostalgia like you see with some of these other movies that they've remade. They go back and remake It, and that's a big nostalgia movie. All that was a good movie, but it's more of its own thing because it's a Kevin Hart, The Rock thing. And
right.
They can go off and they can do whatever they want.
Jack Black also in that movie. I love Jack Black. I've always been a Jack Black fan, but I feel like every movie he does now is the same thing. It's the same character, which he is in this current movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of his shtick, you know. It's the Tenacious D thing that he likes to do. He's a, you know, they kind of poke fun at it where he sees his character and he's like, I'm an overweight middle-aged man. And it's like, that's his thing at this point. Is that Jack Black? But he's good at it, and, you know, he fits his shtick, and, you know, why move away from that? Because he can do that. Not a lot of other people can. You know, you see a lot of people try to imitate these things that people do, and Jack Black is still doing his thing. So, and he was actually really good in the movie. So
okay.
It works.
I'm going to take my son to see it next week. Josh, hold on. We're going to talk Golden Globes. We're going to talk more movies. And Bono said something this week, or came out this week, what he said, and people don't like it. Josh Hill from fansided.com on the phone with us, in for Dean. Dean's out the next 2 days.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Andy?
Yes, sir.
He had something for us?
I would love to tell you that Friday on WGN TV, you can watch the Chicago Bulls race up and down the court with the Indiana Pacers. Bulls Pacers, Friday 6:30 on WGN TV.
8:23, Dean's out the next 2 days. On the phone with us, Josh Hill, doing the entertainment report from fansided.com. People go to the website, fansided.com. Do they just type in your name to find you, or are you on the front page?
Well, it depends. Sometimes I'm on the front page, but they could just type in the website and they can find all of the good things that people write, not just me.
How about that? Look at that. Yes. The Golden Globes this year, everyone is going to be wearing black. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a movement because of all of the sexual harassment things that have been going on in Hollywood to kind of push back with a protest. And that's, you know, women are going to be wearing black dresses and you're going to have men wearing black suits. Well, I mean, more so than they usually do, as a sign of protest and to kind of push back and, you know, make sure that the people that we don't want to mention are not mentioned, even though we're somehow mentioning them by protesting. But
right.
it's a positive movement.
I don't see why anyone would think this would be negative wearing black. I know some people have complained about it. Why would they? I don't understand it.
Well, it boils down to there's some people that believe that there's people being involved in this and they're trying to be self-righteous about their involvement in it. And then there's also a segment that believes that asking people to protest something that they maybe aren't comfortable protesting with. Because, you know, all the women coming forward, people have been saying, well, how come they didn't come forward earlier?
Right.
And then that generates a conversation of, well, you don't understand what they're going through and this and that. So that's kind of the thing where you have people like Rose McGowan, who is the leader in the movement, mm-hmm. the Me Too movement, has come forward and kind of attacked other women in this black dress movement to say, who are you to try and, you know, basically publicize this for yourself when this is not about you, this is about a movement. And so it's kind of fracturing, but which is unfortunate because it takes away from the conversation that everybody needs to be having, which is sexual harassment is bad.
Yep.
We can't have it in Hollywood, and that's where we need to go. But, you know, the powers that be have it fracturing off.
Josh Hill on the phone with us from fansided.com. Star Wars has moved up the movie list for 2017.
It has. Even Wonder Woman, too.
What did you think of Star Wars, The Last Jedi?
I liked it. I personally liked it. I believe it's a movie you have to see twice. The first time, you kind of watch it and you let it wash over you. But the second time, I feel it's important. I've been telling people to check their nostalgia at the door. Because if you go into it thinking, oh, this is going to be like Empire Strikes Back, or and this is going to even be like The Force Awakens, it's not. It's a completely different movie. It's trying to rewrite where Star Wars is going from here. Whereas The Force Awakens was much more comfort food.
Yeah.
We went into it and we were like, oh, yeah, this is... It was also a criticism. People are like, oh, this is too much like A New Hope. But we all loved it. It was renowned. And then, you know, people dislike The Last Jedi. It's one of the most divisive movies in the saga.
It's
but
crazy.
It's hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's crazy how people are so passionate. It's a good movie. Just take it for what it is. I agree. It's a good movie. Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia in this movie. So there's a little bit of nostalgia. But you're right. There's some new characters. But it's a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also there's this, Rotten Tomatoes, the audience score being so low has been something that people have been harping on. And then it's come out in the last couple of days that some kind of alt-right movement has been basically flagging all of these reviews to try to lower the score because they don't feel comfortable with women having a bigger role in the Star Wars universe, this and that. But, you know, and then that we have to be careful not to lump everybody who doesn't like The Last Jedi into this group of people who just are hating it to hate it. There are fair criticisms of the movie, the pacing, some of the writing isn't that as strong as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Direction is a little weird in some places. But overall, like you said, it's a good movie. The critics aren't giving it a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes or whatever, because it's not a good movie, you know?
It's so true. And finally, Bono is getting criticism for a new Rolling Stone interview. What did he say?
Well, he said that music these days is getting a little, to use his words, he said it's getting girly. And if you're Bono, you can't say that.
No, like, you cannot!
For a guy who is as thoughtful as he is, with all of the, you know, the philanthropy that he does, and you know, all of the good things that he does, you can't say something so thoughtless like this. You just can't.
I can't believe it.
Bono.
Yeah,
he's at the end of the day, though, he's a rock star. We see him as this guy who's donating to Uganda and all of these things, which is great. And he's a really positive force in the world.
Right.
He's also a rock star.
Yeah.
He's going to say stupid things. So use it as a teachable moment. Teachable moments are okay. That they don't have to be the end-all, be-all. Bono screwed up. He said something he shouldn't have. Use it as a teachable moment. So then the next time somebody wants to say it, they don't say it.
But you feel like that could come out of Keith Richards' mouth, but Bono, you don't expect it. Or a Bruce Springsteen, you don't expect something like that. So, well.
No.
Yeah. Josh Hill, fansided.com. Josh, we'll talk to you tomorrow, man. Thank you.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, Pete.
All right, take care. He's great, man. I love Josh. Doing a good job. Fansided.com is the website. 8:29, the big story coming up next. I'm sure it's with Dave Schwann. Yeah, Dave Schwann coming up next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. I love our next guest. Just hearing his voice motivates me. The Northwestern Wildcats take on the Kentucky Wildcats in the Music City Bowl on Friday. Coach Fitz is brought to you by Fields Auto Group. On the phone with us is Coach Fitz from Northwestern. Coach, we're also pumped for the game, and we're not even involved. You got to be off the charts.
Yeah, fired up, guys. Can't wait, and really looking forward to kickoff tomorrow afternoon.
You start the season 2-3. You win 7 in a row. The last two games, you scored 30 against Minnesota, 42 against the Illini. How do you keep that momentum?
Well, it starts up front. You know, we've got to go out and execute up there and give Clayton an opportunity to have some time, and that obviously open up the holes for Justin. So those guys have played pretty well here down the stretch, and hopefully they'll continue to do that here tomorrow.
It's been over a month. Your last game was November 25th. Do you practice the same? How do you keep them in the doing the same things?
Yeah. You know, back at home, we were really physical, kind of had a spring ball-type mentality, but then when we came down here, we got focused on normal game week, and it's been first class here. I mean, it's been unbelievable staying here at the Opry. The guys have had a great time, and all the events have just been absolutely outstanding.
That was my next question. I mean, you allow these guys to have a little fun, but when it's time to get down to business, it's time to get down to business because the opportunity is there and you want to win a game.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's the goal, right? You want to win, and the point is that you're focused when it's football time, and when it's time to have fun, go out and have fun, and our guys know how to do that.
Big win yesterday for Northwestern over Kentucky in the hot wing eating contest, 55-32. Your players went out and ate hot wings yesterday.
That was big time. Yeah, no, the guys were juiced up about it. They had a plan. We put some ringers in there, and I don't know if you saw the video, but they had a great time.
I did see the video, and the players were pumped up, and they said it's going to be even better on Friday. I mean, they're having fun, but they're focused, yeah. Which I love. I absolutely love it.
Well, that's what bowl games are all about, and just very thankful for all those that make the bowl season special. And it's been great down here in Nashville. Looking forward to seeing a lot of our fans traveling down and having some fun in Nissan Stadium. And hopefully we go out and play our best game of the year.
Coach, what's your game plan? Solid defense. You want to run the ball. Thorson can't throw picks. I mean, you want to do. You don't want to make mistakes, basically, right?
Well, you know, it's like the opener. You got to go out and got to execute. You got to take care of the ball. Getting up to the speed of the game is going to be really important because we have not played in a month. And then just playing four quarters of ball. I mean, it's you haven't played in a while, so you practice what you haven't played. So hopefully we'll go out there and be able to do that.
And the bowl game gives you one more opportunity, obviously, to be with your seniors and the guys that are leaving the program and have tasted a whole lot of success. That's got to be special for you and for them to be able to go out with a bowl game.
Yeah, it's great, and it's even more special when you go out as a champion. You know, and that's what it's all about.
Coach.
That's why we're here.
Coach, you have two bowl wins as head coach at Northwestern. 2012, the Gator Bowl. 2016, last year, the Pinstripe Bowl. There's only one radio host on the planet that's had you on the radio before both of those wins.
I've heard this all morning.
I'm assuming it's you.
I've heard this all morning.
Coach, that would be me. I'm your good luck charm. This is a done deal tomorrow.
Well, let's go get the hat trick and make it three in a row.
If you win tomorrow, when you win tomorrow, three in a row, you got to take me to dinner.
Absolutely. You know, Mustard's is right next door to the stadium. Come on out. We'll get a hot dog. We'll get a Polish and have some fun.
That's good eats over there, yeah.
This is what I love about Northwestern. First of all, I just love you. I loved you as a player. I think you motivate people just when you speak, and I just can't imagine what it's like in the locker room. But Northwestern, Chicago has embraced it. I have a 12-year-old. He loves going to games. We root for your team. We watch on TV every week. You got to love that.
Yeah, well, that's what we're trying to do, is become Chicago's Big Ten team for everybody, and not just our alums, but, you know, even those that maybe didn't go to Northwestern, and then the next generation of little Wildcats. And so we're building it kind of one fan at a time, and just very thankful for the support of our program, especially for our guys. And, you know, we're looking forward to bigger and better things in the future, but hopefully being champions and sending our seniors out the right way here tomorrow afternoon.
Now, do you have a speech ahead of time before the game?
You know, I have some bullet points that I think about, but, you know, no, I typically don't try to do a bunch of canned stuff. I think the guys see through that. I think it's about being in the moment and then being real consistent for the guys. They know, you know, what our approach is, how we want to play our style of ball, and, you know, just so thankful for our seniors. They played so hard, and you know, tomorrow's win would, I think, put them tied second all-time leading, you know, victory totals for our senior class. That would be really special.
Coach, good luck tomorrow. We'll all be watching. We'll be listening here on WGN Radio, and we'll talk very soon when we go out to dinner.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. Look forward to that dinner date. So, thanks so much, guys. Happy New Year. Go Cats.
Thank you. Coach Fitz, he is the best. He's very calm today.
Yeah. You know, I think that you know, the bowl experience is awesome for the players.
Yeah.
I think for the coaches, it's kind of a nightmare because, like you said, you're off for a month. Then they go down.
Their last game was November 25th. Yeah, think about that. So you want to keep them in their routine, so that's why I asked about practicing.
Yeah. So you're off for a month, and then you go down to the bowl site, usually a week, maybe sometimes a week and a half before the game actually starts,
right,
to kind of get acclimated. But like you pointed out, I mean, there's a hot wings eating contest. There's, you know, yeah, there's things that go on that are fun and designed to be fun because it's a reward. You know, you're going to a postseason game. You should have fun with the kids, but this guy gets him focused right away. I mean, there's no messing around. They know who's boss, and the way he does it and the way he has kind of built this program in his image, it seems, you know,
right,
because
yeah,
that's the kind of player he was.
Right. Seven in a row. I mean, how many overtimes did they have? Two or three?
Yeah, they had back-to-back weeks.
I got to tell you, and I've told Ennett this, I love listening to Ennett call the games on the radio.
Yeah.
It's just so good.
Well, you know, Northwestern alum.
Yep.
He's got his picture and his name on the broadcast booth, so yep, he's got the job.
Yep.
And but, you know, he gets into it. That's just cool.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. He's going to be on tomorrow.
Excellent.
From Nashville.
Got to keep tabs on him. You know, he gets a little out of hand every once in a while, too, right?
What time is the game tomorrow?
Pregame is an extended pregame. Starts at 2. The actual kickoff is at 3:30.
Perfect. Okay. Coach Fitz, again, brought to you by the Fields Auto Group.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
850, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. I love the fact that we're having this next guest on because people need to be careful when they drive on the tollway. The Illinois Tollway is teaming up with the Illinois Transportation and Safety Leaders to emphasize the importance of the Move Over Law through a new safety campaign. Joining us is the Tollway Chairman, Bob Schillerstrom. Bob, slow down and change lanes, right?
Good morning, Pete. How are you today?
Good morning.
Yes, we are part of this Give Them Distance campaign, and this is grown out of the Move Over Law that was passed by the Illinois legislature and Governor Rauner this year. We're grateful for the bipartisan leadership that came out of this, and it's all about safety. When our loved ones go out on the highways, whether it's going to work or, you know, just going home from an event, we want them to come home and we want them to be safe. So this is all about reminding people who use the tollways residents who use really any road in Illinois to be safe and think about that. If you see somebody stopped on the side of the road, we want you to slow down and we want you to move over. We want to make sure that those people who, for whatever reason that they had to pull over, that we can get them fixed and get them going again, but most importantly, get them home safe.
Bob, it seems like common sense, but a lot of people are very focused. We're all in a hurry to get somewhere, but if someone's pulled over changing a tire or something happened to their car, you got to give them room. And think about it. You're going 55, 60, 75 miles an hour. You got to move over. You got to be safe on the highway.
Pete, it is all about common sense. But as you know, all of us, we get wrapped up in our lives. We get wrapped up in issues, and we don't think all the time. So we know that almost everybody out there, if they really thought about it, if they saw that car on the side of the road, and if they thought that that was their mother or their sister or their child or their spouse, they would certainly slow down and move over. Almost everyone would do that. What we're doing with this campaign is trying to remind people, think about that person on the side of the road. It could be you. It could be a loved one.
Yeah.
Slow down and move over. It's common sense, and it makes a big difference. We lost a tollway worker this year. He was out working, and somebody didn't move over, and they hit him, and they killed him. It didn't need to happen, and we certainly don't want it to happen in the future.
I mean, that's the number one thing. You see workers slow down. I know we're all in a hurry, but you got to be careful. Wow. Andy, you had something for Bob?
I just wanted to give Bob and his folks a compliment. I mean, I drive every once in a while, I drive the Jane Addams I-90 out toward the western burbs and northwestern burbs. It's so fantastic to ride on that piece of road now.
Just did it. I went to Rockford last Monday.
Yeah, with the signage and you know, the alerts that are, it's actually a treat to drive on it.
Well, thank you for saying that, and we are very, very proud of that road. We've just completed opening up the I-90 Jane Addams this year. It's our smart road. We try and give our drivers as much information as possible. If there's a slowdown ahead or there's ice ahead, we try and let people know so that they can slow down and be safe, and to get from point A to point B, that's what we want you to do, but we want you to get there safely. So, yes, we're very proud of that road, and we're getting ready to start at 294 right now. We're going to do congestion relief on that.
Oh, yeah.
That's also going to be a smart road, and we're going to run buses on the shoulder of that, just like we do on I-90. So we're excited about what's happened in 2017, and we're really excited about the opportunities for our customers and the people in Northeastern Illinois in 2018 and thereafter.
It is a great road. Yep. I just drove to Rockford. I loved it and just skated home. It was fantastic. And Bob, Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving, Christmas time, a lot of people on the roads, especially during the summertime. Is the Illinois Tollway like any other business? Do you call a meeting and say, okay, guys, we got Thanksgiving coming up. This is going to be the busiest travel day of the year. Everybody, all hands on deck. You got to be ready to go.
Absolutely. And we also, we have all hands on deck when we know that there is snow coming. I tell people all the time, long before I had anything to do with the Illinois Tollway and when my children were out, I always told them, take the tollway during the winter because we get rid of the ice, we get rid of the snow, and we are focused on getting our customers from point A to point B safely. And that really is one of our number one, if not our number one concern, is safety for our customers. Obviously, we want to be able to get you from one place to another,
right,
but we want to get you home to your family safe.
I don't really understand why people don't have the iPass. There's some people I know that still don't have it. I just don't get it. Why do they want to wait in long lines? And you pay more with cash, right, Bob?
Our goal is to have everybody have a transponder. It costs you $10, and that is a refundable $10. And once you have that transponder, you pay half of what you pay if you don't have it. So one of our goals in 2018 is to drive as many people to go get that transponder as possible. Once you get it, it'll work for years. You put it on your windshield. You don't have to worry about it. And if you use the tollway more than about twice a year, it is going to pay for itself. So if you don't have a transponder, go out and get one. It'll save you money and make your life easier.
I just don't understand people. And they can go to the website, givethemdistance.com, and it'll give you the information. But it's just common sense. You see somebody pulled over on the side of the road, slow down, change lanes. That easy.
I couldn't agree more. Just think about if it was you and what you would want people to do. And you'd want to, it's traumatic when you're on the side of the road. Nobody plans for that.
It's the worst.
And if you do have a breakdown or for some reason you have to pull over, we want you to pull over as far as possible, turn on your hazard lights, and then dial *999. And we will send assistance out there. We will have a help truck or a policeman there right away to help you with whatever your problem is. And it's important. Stay in your car. Don't get out of your car.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody will be there very soon to help you. That's one of the services that we provide if you use the Illinois Tollway. We're going to help you if you have a breakdown. So help yourself. Get over, turn on those hazard lights, and stay in the car, and call if you have a phone, and if you don't, we've got all of our system is cameraed. So if you pull over and you have a problem,
you're going to see them.
Aware of it. We're going to let the police know, and we're going to let our help trucks know.
Tollway Chairman Bob Schillerstrom. Thank you, Bob. Happy New Year.
Same to you guys, and thank you.
All right. Coming up after 9 o'clock, one of our favorite SNL cast members, Tim Kazurinski, is here. One of the best writers ever.
A lot of writing credits that
about
you
last
might not
night.
Be familiar with, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to talk to him. I love it. And there is a sweaty ball happening on Saturday at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Tim will talk about that. We'll be joined by CLTV coming up next on 720 WGN.
Hello, I'm Margaret Jo McCullen.
And I'm Terry Rialto.
And you're listening to The Delicious Dish on National Public Radio.
Please welcome the owner of Seasons Eatings, Pete Schwetty.
Well, Pete, Terry and I have been looking forward to having you on the show because we know you're the master of all kinds of Christmas goodies. Tell us about them.
The thing that I most like to bring out at this time of the year are my balls.
WGN, and we're live on CLTV. It's 9:12 in studio with us. He wrote one of the greatest romantic comedies of all time, starring Rob Lowe and a young Demi Moore. It was called About Last Night. He is a former cast member on Saturday Night Live, and he's here to talk about the Saturday Night Live experience and the sweaty ball at the Museum of Broadcast Communications at State and Kinsey happening this Saturday. If you'd like tickets, go to eventbrite.com. It is Tim Kazurinski. It is an honor to have you in studio.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. McMurray. My pleasure.
The sweaty ball is happening Saturday.
Right. Singular. Sweaty ball.
Sweaty ball.
Yes. One of my favorite sketches ever of SNL. It's just an incredible, incredibly, incredibly funny.
People are encouraged to wear their ugly sweaters, like in the skit with Alec Baldwin, or dress up as their favorite SNL character.
Yep. And they can also, there's also going to be a band there, the karaoke live band, and everybody's encouraged to sing and dance. And Billy Goat Tavern is providing their cheeseburgers for everybody.
Of course they are.
The entire Sianis family is going to be there. Not the goat, but everybody else is going to be there. Tito's handmade vodka is kicking in.
Of course. Love Cooper's, the vodka.
Oh, yeah. The wine's being donated by Cooper's Hawk.
Cooper's Hawk. Great wine.
Red, white, and blue. I'm sorry. Red, wine, and sparkling. Goody's Famous Popcorn are going to be providing all the sweaty balls.
We have some in front of us. The popcorn balls right here, courtesy of Goody's.
I have a pair of them in my hand, and I'm looking at them right now.
Your first thoughts walking through the SNL exhibit at the museum?
Yeah, I was completely blown away. I just was like not prepared for it. The entire museum has been converted into the Saturday Night Live experience. And you walk in the front door, and it's like going through the entire week from, you know, the first meeting in Lauren's office all the way through to the dressing rooms, the wardrobe, the sets being built. It's a phenomenal exhibit.
I'm a huge SNL fan. And as soon as you walk in, you go up the escalator, and they have the pictures on the wall of every cast member.
Every single cast member.
And you're like, oh, my God, I remember that person. Oh, that woman was on the show? Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Yeah. I remember her.
Yeah, 4 seasons.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Anthony Michael Hall, he was on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Joni Cusack was on.
Joan Cusack? What year was she on?
She was on the year, what was that, 80? Let's see, 86, 87? It was just after when Lauren first came back after Dick Ebersol.
Okay.
It was the Anthony Michael Hall cast that she was in. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like the 80s, they just started inviting people and saw what stick. What would stick.
Yeah, exactly. Randy Quaid?
No.
Yeah, what were they thinking?
What?
Yeah, Randy Quaid was in that cast. That was a...
Cousin Eddie?
Yeah. Yes, Cousin Eddie.
I love it. It's like walking through your childhood. My wife is a bigger SNL fan than me. I'm trying to get her to go there. It's just finding time, you know, when you have kids and you're running around.
Yeah. She'll love it. Yeah.
You got Buckwheat. You got Wayne's World. You got the Jeopardy set, the Weekend Update set, and you can actually sit at the set. Wayne's World, you can grab the guitar and sit on the couch.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You can grab the guitar and rock out. It's phenomenal.
Now, at the end, when you walk in that room where the Weekend Update stage is, they have the actual stage from SNL there. Were you blown away when you saw that?
Yeah. Yeah. That was my favorite spot. I loved the Weekend Update thing because, you know, in a week where, you know, there's always publish or perish. Am I going to get it? I was also paid writer on the show as well as performer. So
right.
It's like, you know, you want to earn your keep. And it was that publish or perish mentality. And if you didn't get a piece, a sketch into the show, you were like, oh, I got to get a piece on Update. So I love to work the Update desk. So much fun.
You have an interesting journey to SNL because you started in advertising, right?
I actually started in Johnstown, Pennsylvania at 17 as a reporter for the Johnstown Tribune Democrat, and then I came to Chicago at age 18 in 1968, and then I switched later to advertising.
Came to Chicago in 68?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Unbelievable.
Oh,
are you kidding?
There wasn't really much going on here.
For an 18-year-old, it was the center of the universe.
Of course it was.
It was all happening here. Civil rights, equal rights, Vietnam.
Everything.
Everything was going down here. And it happened again in 2008 when Obama got in. It was like, I fell in love with Chicago. I never left.
So what, you worked for Leo Burnett, right?
Yep. Look for Burnett for 5-6 years. I was an ad man until I was 28.
So you're an ad man working for Leo Burnett. How do you get into SNL?
I was very nervous at presenting my commercial. So to get over my fear of presenting, you had to present to like the bosses in gray suits. And so somebody said, take a public speaking class at Dale Carnegie or at Second City. So I took a class at Second City. After two classes, they offered me a job for an 80% pay cut, and I said, oh, I'd be crazy to pass up an offer like this. So I went to work at Second City, and then 2 years later, out of the blue, I got hired on SNL.
So you were in Second City for 2 years,
yep.
And they hired you to SNL?
SNL,
that doesn't happen. Who was in your class at Second City?
Mostly who ended up in my... There was only one class. There were now about 2,000 students.
Okay, there's so many.
At Second City.
Right.
Back then, it was just Del Close, the teacher, and about 16 students. And from that, the cast, I was with George Wendt, Danny Breen. God bless you, Danny. He's battling colon cancer right now. And my favorite guy to ever walk on stage with.
Really?
Bruce Jarko, Nancy Kelly, Mary Gross, of course, and Rob Riley for a time, and... Audrey Neenan, who was a judge, did about 30 episodes as a judge on Law and Order.
Really?
Yeah, she was great.
That's
was
interesting.
Great.
You've done many things with George Wendt, including a few plays recently. How do you not crack up when you see his face? Because just did a charity event with him this past summer, and just standing next to him with the light on us and the microphone, I started laughing.
He's, you know what, I've known George since 1978. We're the best of pals. And he actually, when the ass fell out of my screenwriting career after 20 years, George is the one who called me up and says, I'm going to Kansas City to do The Odd Couple. I want you to come. I said, George, I haven't acted in a long while. He said, well, I got to be Oscar. You know you're Felix. Let's go. So we went to Kansas City, and for 4 months we did The Odd Couple and sold it out every night and went, whoa, I could be an actor again.
So right. I can do this again.
No, he's the best.
You were on SNL from 81 to 83?
81, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was that like? I mean, tell me about, you wrote sketches. How did you pitch? I mean, week after week, you had to pitch your things, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, when I got hired by Dick Ebersole, because Lorne had left and was like, he was like, let the show die. You know, so Ebersole, you know, came in. He had been the exec on the show, the studio exec. And so he came in and, you know, picked my brain and at the, what the hell, some fancy restaurant, and was buying the drinks, and I'm like telling him, oh, yeah, hey, get this guy, get that guy. And I'm like, and then he says, well, I want you to come work on the show. And I went, okay, oh, my God, I just got a job on SNL as a writer. I'm like, holy mackerel. And about 5 minutes later, he says, do you have your AFTRA card? I said, why would I need an AFTRA card? And he said, well, everyone on the cast has got to be AFTRA. I said, you want me in the cast? He said, yeah, why do you think I hired you? I says, as a writer. And Ebersole said, you write? I'd never thought of myself as an actor yet. You know, I only had a couple of classes. I'm like, but this is only in America does this happen.
You hit
the
lottery. You know that, right?
I literally hit the lottery. And as it turned out, unbeknownst to me, John Belushi had sent him in to check me out and had actually, he'd flown in, saw me do a show. So that, I guess, was
my audition. Wait a second. Belushi went and saw you at Second City. So he went back and just saw a random show and said, you got to get this guy?
Oh, John Belushi was my dear friend. And, he was doing Blues Brothers, and he would come in and watch the show after working, and then he'd say, okay, we're going to go out. And I said, no, John, I got to get up in the morning. I'm coming in. I'm working on this movie, My Bodyguard. We're writing the dialogue. And John would just say, no, we're going out. And he would grab me in a headlock, and we'd go to the Yale House. And
of course.
Because you didn't
can never say no to Belushi.
You did not say no to John.
No.
An amazing guy. So we hung out for a few months, and little did I know that he put in a good word for me, and Ebersole came in, saw me, hired me for SNL.
Was Dick Ebersole was a sports guy?
Yeah.
I heard that he was a jackass back in the day, but people respected him. Tell me about him. Because when people look back at SNL, they think Dick Ebersole, those were the Dick Ebersole years. We don't really talk about those.
Well, the thing is, they never reran them. I was like, I thought I'd put my kids through college on the reruns. And,
don't you hate that?
Lorne had no interest. Even though we had Eddie Murphy, Joe Piscopo,
right,
Julia
Louis-Dreyfus. Right, that was
your cast. Yeah, they didn't rerun those things at all. So, because, you know, Lorne wasn't going to make any money off them. But Ebersole, I used to, you know, battle with him all the time, but to his credit, Dick Ebersole did an amazing job of keeping that show alive for, you know, another 5 years until Lorne came back.
Now, the final year, Eddie Murphy said he just did 48 hours and people didn't think he was going to come back, right?
Yeah.
And then he did come back, but he recorded some things.
Yeah.
Which was odd.
Yeah.
Because it was Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, look at the show now. There's so much pre-tape. There's so many.
Yeah.
Back then, we rarely pre-taped
anything. That was a big deal.
You did an occasional film, like my old hitchhiking film. You did maybe one film thing a show. Now, so much of the show is pre-recorded.
Right.
It's a ton of it. And musical numbers and all of that stuff. But Eddie did pre-tape a couple of, you know, film things. Eddie was a trooper and a good sport. And they used to try and give him too much stuff on the show, and he would say, no, 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 I'm too heavy. You know, give something to Gary or Brad or Tim or whatever.
Good to know.
So, okay. I loved Eddie. He was great.
I'm going to take a break. Can you stay for another 2 hours?
Yeah.
Is that cool? Is that all right? I know Andy's chomping at the bit. He wants to talk about last night, so we'll get to that. Tim Kazurinski in studio with us. The Sweaty Ball. You can go to eventbrite.com and just type in Sweaty Ball. It will come up. It's happening on Saturday.
Saturday. 2 days away. Get your tickets.
Saturday at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Yeah, and you can see the exhibit while you're there.
Which is off the charts fantastic. Yeah. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Well, sorry to keep you guys waiting, but you know, little ceremonies like that are really good for morale. Yeah. Keep me dedicated. Dedicated to serving our customers, that is. Oh, by the way, I'm Tom Tomigan, customer service manager, but everyone just calls me Tommy.
It's Saturday night!
720 WGN and live on CLTV. In studio with us, Tim Kazurinski, formerly of Saturday Night Live, and talking about the Schwedy Ball happening Saturday at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Go to eventbrite.com and just type that puppy in. And we want to say hello to the Cooper's Hawk people who are supplying the wine and listening right now. And we only have a few minutes left, Tim. I want to keep you for another 3 hours here on the radio station. About last night, Andy and I have been talking about this all week, knowing that you were going to come in.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite movies. And the city looks so beautiful in that movie, first of all.
Ed Zwick directed that, and he made Chicago look so beautiful.
It's a great Chicago film.
And there were no lights at Wrigley when we shot that.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
In the old days, yeah.
488. The scene at the end, you guys stole that on the blind date. I mean, I that was one of my favorite scenes in that movie, when you guys are you do the magic trick.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely hilarious.
Well, you know, when finally I wrote that movie 13 different drafts over 6 years, and it finally got made. When it finally got made, I had to be up under contract to do a Police Academy movie, Police Academy 3,
right,
up in Toronto.
Carl.
And so this movie that I love is being shot. I get like 2 days off. So Ed Zwick flies me out to California and has me do one scene as the bad blind date when Demi Moore breaks up with Rob Lowe. She goes out with me, and as my wife said, you're everybody's bad blind date.
The British accent.
Bad British accent, and doing card tricks, pulling cards from outside Demi Moore's
God, one of
head.
My favorite movies. Yeah fantastic. Mothers, and
I love that movie, yeah, and it holds up. I saw it.
It does, absolutely. Yeah. And everybody always, we date that girl, and her friend hates us.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we actually wrote a sequel that never got made, because the four stars, the four people that became stars from that movie all wanted too much money for
said,
the sequel.
Said, forget it. Not happening. Do you keep in touch with Jim Belushi?
Yeah, I keep in touch with all my Second City people, and also most of the SNL guys. We'd still trade Christmas cards and stuff. Yeah.
40th anniversary. Did you love it?
Oh, my Lord. What a turnout of everybody who was anybody on the planet.
Showed up.
It was crazy. I was on tour doing Wicked. I was the Wizard of Oz on the first national tour of Wicked, and they gave me the day off to fly in and do that. It was an amazing weekend. Amazing weekend.
And
God.
The after party with Prince playing.
Please, please.
So you're hanging out at the after party, and Prince picks up a guitar and plays with the band.
Okay.
You did.
You know my phone?
Yes.
I took the cell phone out. I shot the whole version, and then after Prince died, I put it up on the internet. 2 million hits, and then the family took it down.
They
took it down, yeah, but I got that. That's an amazing clip. He you know what? He had the best time. You look at his face.
Oh, he was having so much fun.
He was having so much fun, because he was the closing act, and he knew it, and he was rocking it, and he was, I'm the god of, I know.
Is it like a high school reunion where you go back and see your old buddies? It's like, okay,
this was
fun.
Yeah, I was walking. it was, you know, you're bumping into like De Niro and Nichols. It's just like you're bumping into people. You go, oh my God, look at just, you know, and you know, and then, you know, when you have like, you know, Bobby De Niro bumping into you, say, oh, hi, Tim. I'm going, Robert De Niro knows my name. It's like, it was insane. Oh, man, it was really fun.
What do you think about the current season of SNL?
I thought it started out, probably the show after the election of Donald Trump was one of the greatest single SNL shows, to have Kate McKinnon come out as Hillary and sing Hallelujah.
She's so good.
She's brilliant. She's one of the best women ever to grace that show.
Right.
Brilliant, brilliant woman. And then Dave Chappelle doing that monologue.
Right.
It was like, I was so proud of SNL doing what they do. So that was the start of a great season for them. You know, the end of the year, it gets kind of heaters at you.
Everybody, does.
You know, you're doing a live 90-minute show week after week after
right.
week. You burn out. You just do. And so It fizzled a bit at the end of the year, but it was an amazing year for SNL.
God, I'm so glad you came in today.
Yeah, and I really like Michael Che and Colin Jost doing the news.
Colin Jost is fantastic. Love him. He comes to Chicago every other year. He should be here this summer.
Yeah.
He loves this city.
They do a great job with the news. It's a nice mix.
Nice. Well, I just kind of assume we'll exchange phone numbers and we'll meet up for coffee and just talk about the old days.
Oh, yeah.
You and I.
Come down here in your little glass greenhouse.
Your little
Michigan
glass
Avenue.
Greenhouse. Tim Kazurinsky, remember the Schwetti Ball
Schwetti
happens
Ball.
Saturday. At the Museum of Broadcast Communications, which is right downtown at State and Kinsey. Go to eventbrite.com for tickets.
Yeah. Or sweatyball.com.
And I have to thank Betsy Shepard for getting us together. Betsy is the PR queen of Chicago, and we love you.
Yeah.
Happy holidays.
All right.
Thank you for coming in, Tim.
My pleasure. Thanks, Pete. Thanks, Andy.
We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN.
My operating summary is this. I will give you $150,000 for 20% of the whole business, and I want my wicked cupcakes
Whoa.
On your side.
Wait a minute. The whole business? The whole business?
Yep.
Oh.
I don't know how to split your business up. That's the problem.
Dave, I'll give you $300,000 for 35%.
WGN and live on CLTV. Our next guest, I grew up with him in Peoria, went to high school together. He married my best friend in high school's sister, and he formed a meat company. You talk meats, you talk Alwyn's in Peoria. They all go together. In studio with us is Dave Alwyn. That was you on Shark Tank. It's one thing to start a meat business, but it's another thing to take your business on national TV to try to get a partner.
That is correct, Pete, for sure.
How you doing, man?
I'm
good morning.
How are you? Happy to be here.
When you were first on Shark Tank, I couldn't believe it. What motivated you to go on there?
Well, I've been watching the show for years, and Dawn and I, 2012.
Your wife, yeah.
Yeah, my wife, Dawn. About 4 years into it, I kept saying, I'm going to go on the show one day. I'm going to go on the show one day. And we came home from a soccer game in 2012 of May from Jordan, my son. He had a soccer tournament up here. And we got back and found out there was auditions two hotels over from us up here in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know about it. And so I said, well, that's the bad news. The good news is there's one left in L.A. this Saturday, and I'm jumping on a plane Friday.
And so you didn't go to the one in Chicago. You went to L.A.
I did. I went to the last one for season four. And it was wasn't L.A., but it was like Burbank.
Okay.
That area over there.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So you go out there, and do you bring meat with you? What do you do?
No, I actually flew out with a catalog, a manila folder, and a magazine that I was in, and that was it. That was my whole audition. There was people flying in with, it was crazy. Stood in line 17 hours. And
you did not.
Yeah. Stood in line, get to the hotel. So I fly in Friday night, get to the hotel about 10 o'clock, and I'm checking in, and there's 5,000 people in line already.
Oh, my God. You're freaking out.
What is going on? I go up to the guy first in line. I said, it's Friday. When did you get here? He goes, Monday. I said, Monday?
Monday.
This isn't a Grateful Dead concert. And so of course, this is pretty cool. I started checking. I call home and said, well, I don't think I'm going to get any sleep tonight. I got to figure out what I'm going to do. And so I'm checking in. This tall dude's checking in with me. And I said, man, where are you from? He said, I'm from Orlando. Where are you from? I said, I'm from Peoria, Illinois. Here's the deal. I'm forming a team. Team Dave, and I'm the captain. You want to be on the team? He goes, what do I do? He goes, I said, just go get in line. I'll see you in about 45 minutes. I'll go get three lawn chairs and three blankets because it's September. I think it was September. And it was cold. And we're going to be out staying outside at 70-degree weather, 60-some-degree weather on the sidewalk all night.
Right.
And so he goes and gets in line. I take a cab. I go to a store. I find another dude that's lost in the store and tell him he wants to be on Team Dave. He's on Team Dave, and so he's from Arkansas. He jumps on the team. By the time we get back, there's already 500 people behind our guy.
You're kidding.
No. It was crazy.
Oh, my God.
So that was the whole reasoning of having a team. Is you know, you're several blocks from the hotel now. If you got to go to the bathroom, take a break, go shower in the morning, whatever, at least you get a place in line.
Yeah.
You know.
So. I mean, you're a born leader. That's so funny. Team Dave.
Right.
So you get into the auditions. What do you do?
You know, it's Mark Burnett, Sony, and ABC. I mean, you're pitching to...
So Burnett's in front of you.
Well, somebody from the station, from the studio. Yeah, it's three different people. And, you know, you have a couple minutes to give a pitch, and they critique you back, and it kind of goes from there. Either, you know, they want more or they don't.
And what did they say to you? Dave, we like your story. Come back.
Pretty much. We want to hear more. Send us more information type thing.
Okay.
And so that's how it all started.
How long did that last?
From the time we actually flew out there till the time we actually aired,
I mean,
was 11 months.
Well, the time that you were in there giving your pitch, how long was it? 5 minutes, 7 minutes,
typically,
10 minutes?
They say you're going to get 2 minutes to give them a pitch, two minutes to give them back. I give them a pitch in 2 minutes, and we talk for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
And so so it went well.
Nice. So you knew you were in.
Well, no, you don't know you're in. I mean, 54,000, I believe, had auditioned that year,
oh,
and 100 air. You know?
Jeez.
So the numbers are staggering, and so you never know you're in, ever. You never assume you're in, either.
So you get on the show. And they loved you for some reason, but you didn't have a business plan.
I didn't have a good enough business.
You got killed.
I did. Well, yes and no. I don't know how you say you get killed when your website breaks a million hits in 8 days.
Well, that's, I was going to bring that up.
So maybe killed in a good way. I won't lie. We had some problems with so much traffic that we weren't ready for either. Some issues.
Did they warn you ahead of time saying, hey, this is going to be on national TV. You better get everything ready.
Well, you get an email that you are going to air.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And your official air date is such and such. And it's 10 to 14 days out. And so, you know, you've got everything to worry about at that point, you know, and everybody that I talked to that I met, filmed with or whatever, is like, oh, your site's going to crash. Our site crashed in 3 seconds. Our site crashed in 5 seconds.
And my gosh.
So there's two things in the TV world. It's the Oprah effect or it's the Shark Tank effect.
Yeah.
And those are two things that if you get on those two platforms, people don't realize it can literally be hundreds of thousands of people instantly.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love Shark Tank. Andy's a big fan of Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Did you see the first time he was on or the second?
I saw the second time. So I knew that something didn't go right the first time, but they were nice enough and they were interested enough to bring you back. I mean,
it was season six. So that was, I think that aired in April of 2015.
So the first time you were on, they said nobody wanted to buy into it because it was too new.
They loved my product.
Yes.
And they loved the product.
They were going to town like they were going to the electric chair. They
business plan form. It was interesting is they didn't want anything to do with the retail or the catering. And they were more interested in the mail order business the first show. So the second show, I come back and I split off the mail order entity separate and Kevin and Robert fight and want the retail and the catering back in the mix.
Right.
You know? So it was kind of interesting how it all came full circle.
Why Mr. Wonderful, Robert with the good hair, he made an offer, and Mark Cuban. Why'd you pick Cuban?
Well, Mark and his whole family had become customers ever since season four when I didn't get the deal. Several of them are customers, and they order a lot and often, and personal to the family's personal friends. And I, you know what? Life to me has always been about connecting the dots, and I knew if I inked a deal with Mark Cuban, the dots will start to connect on their own. And pretty much that's what's happened. Mark and his team are just phenomenal. He's got a whole crew, probably 6 to 8 people that just manage the Shark Tank companies now.
You're kidding.
No, he probably has maybe 50 to 60.
Oh, my gosh.
Shark Tank companies that deals have actually closed.
Jeez, man.
And so I don't take advantage of all the things that are needed, like CPAs and accountants and all that, because I've been in business quite a while. Some of the startups really need help with that.
Right.
And he's there for whatever level you need. And so it's been great. And the dots have certainly started to connect.
So how does it work? I mean, okay, you get the deal on the show. And then there's obviously you have to do some official paperwork and all that kind of stuff. I mean, how long after the show did everything kind of get together?
We aired in May, and by September, I think our deal was closed. So there was some due diligence and tax returns and liabilities and how you're going to do certain stuff and all that in the way of doing business.
And they can bail out of a deal, right?
Absolutely. Over the years, especially the first few years, a lot of people just tried getting on the show with no real numbers and would say, oh, I netted $1 million. And all of a sudden, a shark invests into them and they get their tax returns and netted 10 grand.
Mm.
You know? You know? And
that's
so,
Kevin O'Leary. He wants the whole business.
Well, they
give
started,
me
they started,
50% and I'll take a royalty of 25 cents on each piece of meat.
Yeah, but over the years, they've done a lot better job of vetting people and validating numbers
and
making sure that if you're on the show, there's a reason.
Nice. Well, let me take a quick break and we'll talk meat because that's your company. EchoValleyMeats.com.
EchoValleyMeats.com.
People listening in Peoria right now, our hometown?
Absolutely.
You want to say hi to anybody?
Hello, Dawn. Hello, Jeanette at the office. Hello, everybody in Peoria listening to this right
now.
You
got people working this week? Come
on.
This is vacation
week. We're still shipping. People still have to eat.
They do. Dave Alwyn from Echo Valley Meats in studio. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN.
What are you going to do?
Mark, you have a deal.
Done.
Wow.
We'll be right back.
That Shark Tank music just kind of scares you, doesn't it? In studio with us, Dave Alwyn from Echo Valley Meats. You can go to his website, echovalleymeats.com. That was you on Shark Tank making the deal and the bro hug with Mark Cuban.
And that was right. That was 2015.
Do you talk to him on a regular basis?
Talk to him via email often. Anytime there's something we need or there's a problem or issue or a concern or, you know, whatever, or even just an order sometimes, like his family. So we talk as much as needed.
Do you get free tickets to the Mavericks?
I've never asked.
What?
I've never asked.
You gotta call in that order, man. Yeah. Come on, he's your partner.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm sure I could get tickets if I wanted to go.
Okay.
So
you're not going to Dallas.
Yeah.
No, not
well,
really.
I might. I mean, I might, if I'm there someday and there's a game, I'd love to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You do a lot of speaking engagements around the United States.
I do. I've started speaking quite a bit. You know, being the only entrepreneur, there's been two of us that have ever came back to the show for a second time. But as it sits today, out of, you know, well over a million people that have auditioned probably by now, I'm the only one that's ever came back and inked a deal. And so it's kind of a story in itself. And then leaving a family business that's Lebanese in Peoria to start my own company.
Because right.
In 96, I said I wanted to get in the internet business, and they all laughed at me. And so on and so on. And so... yeah, that's what's happening.
I feel like you could sell anything. You could pick up something on this desk and sell it to somebody. Listen, we got Team Dave coming along. You need to buy this first, and then you're on my team. Okay, I'll do it. I'll make it happen. Absolutely.
Well, Pete, I don't care what it is. You have to be passionate about anything you do in life.
Of course.
You know, and you're very passionate about what you do, and that's what makes you good. And so I'm passionate about what I do, and you know what? I love feeding the world one mouth at a time.
Let's talk about the greatest ham on the planet. I'm not a ham guy, and I've told you that. You sent me a ham. I don't know what it is, what you put in it, but it's the greatest ham I've ever eaten.
Well, thank you. Most hams on the market today are all full of water, water-added hams. Ours are a natural juice ham, and so that's the biggest difference is we're not putting 25-35% of water in it for free weight and extra pounds and all that and take the flavor out of it. Ours is a natural juice product, and you know, it's the real deal.
It's the real deal, Andy.
It's the real deal.
It is. Yeah.
You've told me.
I know the holidays are big for you, but what do people order late January, February? Are they just sending it to business associates?
Well, we're starting, as of recently, getting into the corporate incentive world. And so we're dealing with a lot of casinos right now for people that have points or rewards for gamblers.
Oh, my gosh. How great is
so
that?
So we're into to a big chain of casinos across the country.
Of course you
that.
Are.
And then safety programs, incentives, retirement parties, retirement packages. We have one large company that sends a $200 steak box and $300 a meat. A $500 retirement package to people when they retire from their company.
Oh my gosh.
And so we've kind of created what I like to say is rewards, points, and incentives are three different things that we've converted into categories to sell meat through.
Good for you. People can order up on their phone.
Oh, absolutely.
You want to make it easy for people.
EchoValleyMeats.com. It's simple.
And for people watching on TV, on CLTV, what'd you bring in today?
So today we brought in some of our award-winning summer sausage. No MSG, gluten-free. There's five different flavors
it
here.
It is? I just thought it tasted good. Well, now you're telling me it's good for you.
It's quality in, quality out. Absolutely. You know, I'm not using the scraps where most of this is fresh hams and boneless chucks that go into it.
Okay,
so it's, you know, quality in, quality out. Right. It's kind of my motto. And then this garlic cheese spread that is really, as Mark Cuban said on television, get away from me, I gain 15 pounds every time I see that stuff. It's that good.
Brother, thank you for coming in.
Yeah,
for making the drive from P-Town.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
How's everything over the holidays in Peoria?
It's good. You know, it's for me and my world, it's and my family, it's a new time. You know, we lost a daughter 3 months ago.
I know. So, I'm so sorry about that.
So, yeah, Jessica had died. She was 19 years old. And so it's a new beginning, a new normal, I guess, is what it is we're trying to figure out.
Right, right. Know? Well, thank you for coming in. Love to the family. Love to Dawn. And are you ready to eat, Andy?
I'm ready to eat.
Andy, you know, went to Bradley, so he's very familiar.
Yeah.
We know some of the same common people.
We do.
Of course you do. That's Peoria. KZ, you're one person
93.
Away.
Yeah.
KZ93.
Just because you work at the other place, don't knock it.
EchoValleyMeats.com. Dave Alwyn, thanks for sharing today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
CLTV and 720 WGN. All right. Thanks again to Dave Alwyn from Echo Valley Meats. That does it for us. Chen and Amy are in. How you doing?
I'm well.
Need some meat? We got
some meat.
We got the platter right there.
You took the liberty of creating a pile of meat and cheeses for us. That's good.
Well, we're going to get after it at 10 o'clock.
That's a gesture we always appreciate.
Yeah.
Good times.
Well,
hey,
yeah.
You know what we're going to do today? We're a little late to Festivus, but we are going to have the traditional airing of the grievances.
Oh,
cool.
Oh, yes.
Chicago Reader has a really fun piece right now about airing of the Chicago grievances.
Okay.
Including, like, Chicago Authenticity Police, where there's, like, rules about what can go on a hot dog and what...
You can't
put the ketchup on a hot dog.
You can't put a ketchup on a hot dog.
Right. So,
you can't. My son turned 11, and that was a rule at the McMurray house.
So, see? Mm-hmm.
You're part of the police.
You're part of the you're policing my authenticity. Uh-huh. So, therefore, so we're going to be talking about that and airing some grievances, and hopefully callers will share some grievances with us as well. And hopefully they won't be about us.
Yeah, that no.
Yeah, you don't want people to complain about you.
Ixnay on the personal grievances.
Have a great show.
Thank you.
So much.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.